PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hoy cumples 7 años. Ya eres un hombre. Entierra tu primer juguete y el retrato de tu madre.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Who do the shit that I do? Baby, welcome to a new episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, in the Crespediso studio, and I got your threat level update. Your current threat level is neon pink. Your assumptions are correct, ladies and gentlemen, with our weather report is Drew Sikogra. Drew.
Chris, it's hot outside.
It's hot outside.
It's hot.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
It's cold elsewhere.
I mean,
but it's hot here.
Sucks for them.
Sucks for them. I'm sweating, though.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to sweat.
Well, get ready, dude. I mean, it is March. I mean, that cold snap last week was weird.
Ah, good old March. Time for sweaty April. Mm. Moving on into
humidity. Basically,
May,
June, or July, it's not so much that you sweat, it's that the entire world is sweating on you.
Put that on a Hallmark card.
Oh, shit.
It's like the whole world is sweating you.
That's what it feels like, summers in Florida. It feels like the world is sweating, and you just happen to be there.
It's like, how did the Philippines get here? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a first-time guest from a PFT Media sister program, our newest show, already 2 months in, though, and I definitely recommend everyone checking it out. It's a lot of fun. We had Leslie Joan here a few weeks ago, but now, the man himself, Ed Irvin, yeah!
Yes, sir, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, Ed. How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. Just kind of, you know, doing some hot podcasting stuff.
I appreciate it. You're still standing after the Sebastian Beach Beer Fest yesterday.
Yeah,
what was the actual name of that festival?
It was the, Shrimp Fest and Craft Beer Hullabaloo.
Oh, that was the Shrimp Fest.
Yeah.
You know, I had reached out to those people to try to get some passes for the Poke and the Bear people, for Big Tim. Big Tim wanted to go to Shrimp Fest. Tim Murphy. Did they have media pass access to those things? Do you even know, Ed, since you've been there?
On that one, it was the first time they did the first time. It was like really kind of a free event that you could walk around, but then the Beer Fest you had to pay for.
Yeah,
and this was like their first time doing it. So the actual, like, incorporating a festival of beer into
the food stuff as well, into the shrimp part.
Exactly.
That's what Tim was interested in, the shrimp part.
Oh, of course.
He wanted some tiny little sea bugs.
Yeah, man. You like those sea bugs, Drew?
They're delicious.
Ed, you like them sea bugs?
Oh, of course. They had some great shrimp there.
Gross.
Disgusting. Didn't used to like them.
No, I still don't.
Anything that comes from the ocean, this guy does not eat.
For the most part, I'll eat salt.
Well, there you go.
Salt is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Water.
Water is amazing. I love water. What else comes from the ocean? Whale steaks. I yet to have one, but I will try a whale steak.
You'll eat whale steak?
Because I fear them so much.
I gotta find some whale steak.
I fear whales so much, I feel like the only way to overcome that fear is to eat one of them. You know?
Yep.
Prove my dominance, right?
I'm with you.
Exactly.
You're going to have to go to Iceland.
Let's get me a whale steak.
It's illegal in America.
Okay, and that being said, I will not eat rattlesnake. I know a lot of people like to eat snake. I will not. I will just live with that fear for the rest of my life, because that is disgusting.
Same here.
Those are land eels. What's that all about? They belong in the water.
Mm.
except for the eels in the water. Those are water snakes. They belong. Nature is all topsy turvy. Up is down. Black is white. Miller's Crossing is all crazy.
Wasn't it Leslie that said that it's basically just a stomach with a mouth walking around, or like slithering around in the ground?
No, that was Lady Raptastic said that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That sounds about right.
That's definitely a Lady Raptastic thing.
Lady Raptastic said that and then was like talking about fucking it.
Yeah, I know. She was proceeding to talk about fucking the snake.
And I was like,
why do you want to fuck the snake?
That was my question to Lady Raptastic. So listen to Lady Raptastic to find out her response to why you would want to.
Of all the places to go.
You never know where it's going to go with her.
No, man, that show is tough to produce, let me tell you. just wrangling her in here and then hoping she's in a decent mood. But it's funny that you mentioned that.
Leslie,
it wasn't you. It was Lady Raptastic. Leslie says plenty of funny stuff, too. Of course. That was a Lady Raptastic one.
That's why we get along so well.
Yeah, you do get along. You guys have a great show, great chemistry. I was saying this off mic, but I do want to encourage people to check out State of the Beer Union. It's really cool because you're very knowledgeable. Even something as simple as like canning beer cans. You did like a whole chunk of an episode about beer cans. And I was like, this is good stuff.
Exactly.
Like I'm really enjoying the information you're bringing to it. And then Leslie's a lot of fun. And then Steve Etchie, Drew, because Drew doesn't listen to any podcast.
I don't listen to podcasts at all.
Steve Etchie is on that show. He is Layman Man. Layman Man, where he knows nothing.
About nothing.
He just knows that he likes to drink the beers.
He's like, yeah, it's delicious.
And they make him drunk.
Tell me why it's delicious and why I'm drunk.
Exactly. And why I'm enjoying this. And then that's when Ed and Leslie come in and start explaining things to him.
Yeah. And I mean, Leslie's very knowledgeable herself. Yeah, she is. Too. She's right up there. I mean, aside from my industry experience, I think she's probably right on the same level with my...
Considering that she's not like in the industry, right? She's not every day selling beer. She's just like a fan of beer, but she really immersed herself in it and she wants to know more. And it's obvious, I think, when you listen to it.
Exactly.
You guys have a real love for the topic and it's really good. And it's not just talking about beer, but the industry and different companies and what's happening. And I think it's really good stuff.
Yeah, the idea behind it actually came from a radio show... an NPR show called State of the Reunion.
There you go. State of the Beer Union.
Exactly.
There we go.
I actually reached out to the host that used to be part of that, or it was a 3-season NPR show about communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually reached out to him and I said, hey, look, I've got this idea. I want to do it about beer. I want it to be a beer community show.
Yeah.
Based on your idea, do you have a problem with me naming this show something
similar
to?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, dude, I'm in.
All right. Yeah. You got permission. That's awesome.
Exactly. He even hangs out. He did a couple episodes, and he'll talk like, oh, yeah, I'm right near Intuition Brewing. So he's a great – he loves beer, too. So it was like, all right, one day we're going
to
have you on.
You're going to have to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. He's not local, right?
No, he's Jacksonville.
Oh, Jacksonville? Perfect. He can drive down there. I was about to say, we'll fly him in, but he can drive. he can drive his ass from Jacksonville. All right. Well, people, check out that show. It's good stuff. And you brought some beers. We'll crack them for the second half.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Great. So let's go ahead and plow through this first half so we can start drinking. Drew, that means we're going to start with the Shroomy Pick of the Week.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
That's right, time for the pick of the week. Pick of the week time. Juicer Cogburn means we use the Crespediso Randomizer 9000.1, which is loaded up with options. And then Ed is going to reach in there. Loaded up with options. And Ed is going to reach in there. And he's going to pick out the pick of the week. He's shaking it up. He's making sure he's doing so much shaking, people. It's unbelievable.
You got to mix up all those options.
You have to mix them up. All right, Eddie pulled it out. What is this week's pick of the week?
It is on Netflix, Goodfellas.
Hey, all right. Goodfellas, fantastic film. We got a Goodfellas poster right behind you, actually, Ed, just over your other shoulder there. Donated to the studio by our homie Gabe. Shout-outs to Gabe on the Crispo Hundo, already hitting 100.
100 movies. Well, he was trying to do it in 100 days, so he did it.
There we go. 100 movies in 100 days. Shout-outs to Gabe. He's a great supporter of the show, great friend of ours. He's actually been on the show. And 100 movies in 100 days, that's wild. His 100th movie, Drew?
Cinema Paradiso.
Yeah, what a smart guy. He's staying on brand, that Gabe. Join us with the Crespo Hundo. You can look online to see what that's all about. Cinema Crespediso, et cetera, et cetera. Goodfellas, fantastic film. Classic. This one is more for the kids.
Yes, yes.
You know, we're letting the kids know that this is something that their uncles and their very young parents like.
Yes,
yes.
And
yes.
And they should check it out as well. Like, for example, someone reached out to me a couple years ago, and I don't even remember how it happened. Maybe we're just talking about on the show, but he was like, I watched Goodfellas. Blew my mind. He was 21 years old. He's like, watch, Goodfellas blew my mind. This movie is amazing. Are there any other movies like this? And I'm like, well, first off, no. It's Goodfellas. It's, like, perfect. But, you know, you could, like, just start watching Martin Scorsese movies. You could check out Casino, which is, like, sort of a version of... It's a longer version of that type of story. It's a different story, but it's still the same style because it's Scorsese. You could watch... then just go down the line, Taxi Driver, Bringing Out the Dead, etc., etc. But yeah, man, Goodfellas is such a singular, wild movie. It's so good.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the first time you even saw it?
I can't.
Do you? I can't.
I remember seeing it a lot.
Yeah, so. I watched it a lot when I was younger. I remember my parents not letting me watch it. Because when it came out, I was like 10, 11 years old. And I remember like being, not even in the video store. This is back when supermarkets had video rental sections. Mm. Right? In the front of the store, a whole bunch of videos. And I remember being, like, looking at the shelves and seeing Goodfellas there. And it's not even, like, a dynamic, just the three of them, just, like, the poster. And but I knew it was a popular movie, I guess. Or I knew my parents rented it. And I was like, can I see that movie? And they're like, no.
No.
Not yet. When you're older, you can watch it because it's very good. But no, you cannot see it. A couple years later, they did the same thing with me with Pulp Fiction. When that came out, I was, like, 12.
Yeah.
12 or 13. And I was like, oh, can I see it? And they were like, they were like, we'll watch it first. We'll watch it first and then we'll let you know. It's like, okay. And they watch it the next morning. I said, so can I watch it? And they're like, no.
No.
No. And, you want to know the main reason why, Drew? Depiction of drug use.
Really?
Yeah. I remember that was the thing my dad brought up. Depiction
of the drug use.
Of heroin use.
That was more offensive than the dude in the gimp suit. And that whole scene.
I think then that doesn't even enter their mind once my dad realizes that one of the main characters is shooting heroin. And it's a very glorified scene where he shoots heroin. It's like,
It is very glorified. It's also very.
And then he's driving and the wind is through his hair. He's like, yeah, I'm high on heroin. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she overdoses and dies.
Well, that's because she just made a mistake. She thought it was cocaine. If it was cocaine, she would have been fine. Or if she did the heroin properly, she would have been fine.
Yeah, correct.
The moral of the story, Drew, is just know your drugs.
And do them properly.
And do them properly, yes. Not exactly don't do them.
Yeah.
Just do them correctly.
Yeah, do them right.
Do them right. Although he gets a little up on heroin and then he gets to her place and then pours himself a scotch and starts drinking that. Like, that would just dead. Like, all those downer on top of downer like that.
Depressants, yeah.
Right? Come on. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's why they're like, no, heroin use. So I'm sure at that point, the gimp suit and raping Marcellus Wallace didn't even enter into their minds. Like, we can't get past the drugs. Yeah. This was the 90s, man. A drug free America, just say no, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, everything I learned about drugs, I learned in my D.A.R.E. course, and then I went out and I found all the drugs.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And I learned that D.A.R.E. was correct.
They're like...
I learned what to call it, how much it cost approximately, all those things. All from, you know,
like this is
my fourth grade class.
This is that China white, kids. Now, make sure you don't get one that's too stepped on. Goes, what, officer? What are you saying to us?
Excuse me.
Excuse us, officer. Drugs play a big part in Goodfellas.
Yes.
Because it's a story about... the mafiosos, and for the longest time, they were trying to stay out of the drug trade. And but some people are like, there's so much money to be made, let's get into it. And it was the younger generations, really. And Liotta's character was like, he sold some drugs, and then he got in trouble, and then, that's what
it was. I mean, it is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made. What else was I just watching? Oh, I was rewatching The Godfather. Big scene in The Godfather where they're having a big tete-a-tete.
Mm-hmm.
And, Corleone is like, we ain't doing the drugs. And then finally he gives it. He's like, all right, well, look, we'll do the drugs, but he ain't selling the kids. He's selling the kids, and he's answering to me. And giving in to selling drugs and stuff. So, listen, drugs are cool, okay, guys?
Okay.
Drugs are good, okay? And just do them. Except unless your doctor prescribes them to you. Then it's evil. Funny how that works.
Yeah, right.
If it's illegal... Party all night long, but if it's legal, they're just trying to hook you and they're trying to do you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Get on that kratom, everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never had
it. Neither have I.
Yeah, it sounds fun. I know someone who has it actually all the time. I could probably just ask him. Let me get a spoonful of that dirt.
Mix it into tea and just
That's what he takes a spoonful and he puts in his mouth and you can see in his face the pain. He's like, oh, why did I do this? And then he has to like swig some Gatorade or something.
And then he feels better.
Theoretically, does he?
I mean, why would you take it if you don't?
Is there a Kratom beer?
I don't know. I don't think so.
There should be. Why not? There, why not?
Because it probably tastes like shit.
I was in St. Pete a couple weeks ago, yeah. And there was a huge event for Tampa Beer Week, mm-hmm. And right next to one of the places we went afterwards was a coffee bar, so I go to get some coffee at midnight.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. That means you're not going to bed anytime soon.
Exactly. So, or no wonder I had a stress-related...
stress-related incident. Bit. Yeah.
But in there, all of a sudden, one guy's like, try some of this. Try some of this kratom tea. You know, try the. You know, like,
the kratom tea. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I don't. No, I'm just gonna stick with my.
And they just, had it there at the coffee shop.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It's
like
really,
they were serving all different varieties.
It's really borderline that kratom stuff, man. Like you go to any head shop in town, and they'll have like the different varietals there. But like, I don't know. The government wants to shut it down, but do they? I mean, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, like this one guy. This one guy that was talking to me, he's like, I'm actually going to start my own Kratom festival. I'm like, okay.
Kratom Fest.
All right.
That's
Kratom Fest.
Kratom Fest. That's definitely getting shut down then. No way Kratom Fest is going to last. No way Kratom's going to last if they're doing Kratom Fest. Yeah. I know there are THC and CBD infused beers out west.
Yeah.
You know, making it legal in Colorado and California just opened doors for people to really experiment with that stuff. So I know that exists, Drew.
Yeah, and in Washington State, too.
In Washington State, yes, absolutely.
It's recreational.
Yeah, so what do you think, Drew? THC beer? You in?
Sure, I'm in. I've had some Green Dragon before, which is basically just THC-induced vodka.
Oh, yeah? And how is that?
It's all right.
You know, I mean, hops...
Like, did you get higher?
I mean, a little bit. It's like eating weed. So you get the body buzz, get drunk.
That shit doesn't work.
I mean, it can be...
I can eat weed all day and do whatever I need to do.
No, I was going to say, I mean, it's already, you know... THC and I mean beer and weed kind of go together because I mean hops are basically a cousin of cannabis anyway.
Right? So, yeah. You look at people holding the hops and it looks just like marijuana. Yeah. It freaked a lot of people out back in the day. Now people know more what hops looks like. You put it on. You see it on cans and stuff. People love them hops.
Yeah. There was a story about Sam from Dogfish. We talk about it all our Dogfish all the time. Of course. But in his book, he was talking about the first time he had to... he made this unit, this device to infuse hops into the beer, even like post-production.
Okay.
So to kind of give it a little extra flavor.
Nice.
And it was for an IPA event that he was traveling out west for, to show that East Coast IPAs could work. You know, we'll go too much
into it. So, the travel with hops?
He traveled with a bag of hops.
Oh, boy.
And... Yeah, he ended up in one of those search rooms.
Yeah,
because we know, well, I mean, hops is technically...
technically it is.
It's a family relation. Cannabis.
It's a relation.
Exactly.
It's not cannabis sativa.
So how do you prove at that point?
Cannabis something else.
How do you prove? You pack it up into a bowl and you say, hit this. See, now you're drunk. Now you're drunk, not high. It's hops. Let me go home, right?
He got one of those detained for a little while because of it.
Man. Yeah, that's funny. It's got to be like a super labeled bag somehow. You need pre-clearance. Yeah. Look, it's TSA pre-check hops.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. I'm going to start a beer company, and all my beer is made with TSA pre-check hops.
Nice.
And that means you can travel with them? I don't know where that's going. Dogfish in Delaware. I eat at their, they have like a tavern, like a little restaurant place. I ate there once by accident.
I've never been up there. I want to go so
bad. It's right there, and it's on the coast in Delaware, so it's like they're little beach towns. Yeah, Rehoboth Beach. And I was with the family. We were doing a little on the southern Jersey Shore. We were doing a little week-long stay. Then my mom was like, let's go down to Rehoboth. So we drove down, got a dog, needed to find a place where we could eat with the dog, which meant outdoor seating.
Yeah.
We came across a place. This place has an outdoor patio. We walked in there, sat down, grabbed the menu. Didn't even look at the name of the place. We just walked into the patio. Sat down, looked at the beer, the beer menu. I was like, everything here is Dogfish. This is exclusively Dogfish beers. Then I looked at I was like, this is a Dogfish brewery restaurant place. That's amazing. The beers are from right up the road.
Yeah, that's where they started.
Right there. So then the waitress comes over. My mom's like, I have a Miller Lite. And I was like, oh, not that type of place. Not that type of place. But I ate there by accident once. It was good stuff, if I remember correctly. I did drink beer, so. All right. Goodfellas, people watch it and do some drugs. That's your
hooray drugs.
All right, let's talk about some monies and some box office. That's right, dollar bills, y'all. We're talking about that box office recap. Drew, where's that top five?
I'll start number five this week.
All right.
with Love, Simon, that made $11.5 million. I know you're interested to see this movie because of your homeboy.
Nick Robinson?
It's your homeboy.
I just need to put out more tweets with his name in it so that his fangirls like retweeted crazy.
So weird.
So a couple of film festivals ago, Ed, I saw this movie that played there that was starring this dude, Nick Robinson. Where's he even from? A Disney show or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Some tween sensation, right? When he was younger. He's in his 20s now. And he started a movie. It was at the film fest, so I saw it. I wrote about it. And I put up my tweet, like, starring Nick Robinson, you know, this movie. Being Charlie, I think it was called. Pretty good movie. And then the tweet itself, like, blew up. It got, like, so many retweets and likes. And then the review, consequently, got a whole bunch of clicks. It blew up on my website. I was like, what is this all about? And I look at the tweet. It's all these Nick Robinson fangirls. And some of them were even replying to my tweet. That was very clear. I'm Chris Crespo. Here's my review of a movie starring this guy. Girls were tweeting at me, we love you, Nick Robinson, heart emoji, like they're talking to him. They don't know how the social media works, and they're younger, they're the kids.
maybe that's funny. One way to promote our podcast.
Hey, yeah. Find a Nick Robinson-infused beer.
Yep. And just put his picture on a can.
And put his picture on a can, there you go. Find someone with a picture on a can, and then so many fangirls will be like, oh my God, I want to get drunk with you, Nick, have my babies. It was very disconcerting. The amount of love. The only movie that came out this weekend that got positive reviews, like overwhelmingly good reviews.
Yeah.
What's it on Rotten Tomatoes? Like, it's like 80-90%.
Yeah, actually not 91.
91% of reviews are positive. But what's the rating, though?
It's 7.4.
7.4, not bad at all. That's pretty good. Yeah, it seems like a pretty good coming-of-age movie. Just this one, the hook, whatever, is that it's about a young high school kid who has to come out of the... He has yet to come out of the closet. He's gay.
Dude, it's the year 2018. How many of these Simon movies have we already seen?
Like, I feel like this is old hat, but...
Yeah.
But is it, though? Now that I'm thinking about it, I can't think of too many coming-of-age movies that are about being gay, but, like, hiding it, and then, you know, during high school. I think it's still underrepresented in media, even though culturally we're kind of past that.
Perhaps.
Although, are we, though?
I would think so.
I would think so, but in Hollywood, there's no gay movie stars. You know what I mean? Like, can you think of a movie star that is openly gay besides like Ian McKellen, who's not a movie star; he's just an old actor. Zachary Quinto, who got Spock and then came out.
But then,
out.
Yeah.
And then he hasn't done anything.
I have not seen him since.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I haven't really seen him since the last Star Trek.
Yeah, I think there's a big problem still in Hollywood with gay actors portraying just regular roles. Neil Patrick Harris is relegated to television.
Yeah.
And then when he does movies, he's playing straight guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Gone Girl, he's playing straight dude.
Well, the kid that played the Flash in Justice League is openly gay, from what I understand.
Ezra Miller, is he?
That's what I heard.
Ooh, that'd be cool. No. Yeah, because he's got a whole career ahead of him.
Yeah.
Or does he? I mean, Justice
League. If he's openly gay, but he's got the Flash movie coming out, and that's based on Flashpoint. Could be good.
No.
And he also had something else.
You guys will hate me. I actually kind of like Justice League.
Some people are liking it. Now that it's out on DVD, more people are watching. People are liking it.
That's fine.
Compared to Batman vs. Superman, it's a fine movie.
Well, I mean...
Batman vs. Superman.
Compared to a lot of awful pieces of shit, it's a fine movie. But compared to a lot of other movies, it is not very good.
It's a spectrum. You know, it's right in the middle there.
They finally got Superman right, at least. I mean,
you think so?
Except for his face.
Except for the digital... so weird. The digital thing, but the actual acting for it and getting him back to being...
Well, I liked
not the,
I like Cavill.
I like him. I think he's perfect.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's good. He's got the look. He's got the Boy Scout feel to him. I like Man of Steel. I like that movie.
I did too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Man of Steel 2.
I like pieces of the movie.
I like pieces of it. I do think, especially since you see shots of it in like full light, like not hidden in the shadows.
Yeah.
The worst looking Batman suit of since the Joel Schumacher nipples on the suit, Greek sculpture suit. At least the Greek sculpture suit I understood. This thing looked like a weird mesh. Like, I don't even know what it was.
It was a strange plastic muscle suit.
It looked tacky. Like, it's looked better. Maybe that's because of reshoots. They were rushing things. Because it's wild how much that movie went through and all the changes and everything. And so I'm interested in seeing that since that came out, there's been a big shakeup at DC. Jeff Johns is out. They got the guy who produced the Conjuring movies. He is now in charge of the...
Got rid of Jeff Johns?
Jeff Johns is out now at DC. At least in the film division, he's gone.
I was going to say, because he's responsible for a lot of the comics. I mean, he brought back Green Lantern.
I think he's still in the comic side for sure. He's head honcho over there.
He's a talented story writer.
But
he just should not be in charge of movies.
Apparently not. And Green Lantern Corps is another thing that they're still trying to figure out. And it's looking like latest rumor is saying Green Lantern Corps will be a buddy, anti-buddy, like road cop movie.
If they did Hal Jordan and John Stewart.
And John Stewart, the two of them.
The two of them, that would be great.
Yes, that's what they're talking about doing. And then they have to traverse through the cosmos on some sort of journey. Whatever. A buddy cop movie. It's like 48 hours or something like that. You know, in space. Yeah. Yes, correct.
That's the concept behind the Green Lantern anyways. Space cop anyway.
It is, yeah, they're supposed to be space cops, so it doesn't have to be earthbound, right?
Exactly.
Like the Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds was surprisingly earthbound, except when they went to Oa, the living planet.
Center of the universe is Oa.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, they didn't even say that in the movie. They just called it Oa, the living planet. It's the center of the universe?
Yeah, it's actually the center of the universe where all the sectors collide. I knew way too much about the Green Lantern Corps.
I did not know that.
For the living planet, you're thinking MOGO, which is the planet that's an actual Green Lantern itself.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm talking about the movie where in the movie they just called it Oa, the living planet. And they didn't talk about it was the center of the universe.
They probably just took both of those ideas and mixed them into one.
Give me the good stuff.
Exactly.
That's some fuckery. That is some fuckery. Thank you, Ed, for putting me in my place.
There was one good thing about it, and that was Mark Strong.
Strong as Sinestro.
And then
I wanted him to be the bad guy.
And at the moment, at the end where he's like, he puts on the yellow ring, I'm like, yes, alright, great. And then
We never get it because that movie was bad and didn't make enough money. He should have been the bad guy from the beginning. It should have just been Green Lantern versus Sinestro, not this whole thing with the doo-doo cloud and all that stuff. And it was a space doo-doo cloud.
You know,
it was.
What a face. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I mean, it was pretty much what they did in the second Fantastic
Four. Yes!
Again.
With Galactus. It was the same thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Doo-doo cloud. Face. Why?
But did you ever notice, by the way, you ever notice comic villains have that, they have the most obvious, even when they're being the good guy for their introduction, all of a sudden, it's like the most... The name obviously means they're going to go bad. Like Sinestro.
Yeah.
Might as well have had Backstabador. I hope I can trust my new partner.
Like to introduce you to your new superhero, Evil Guy Man.
Exactly. Yeah.
But he's... Well, you're going to love him. He's great.
Yep, you're going to love this new one. Hitler. His name's Hitler.
This is the worst comic ever. Evil Guy Man and Hitler hit the road together to save the universe from the evils of... Jews? Oh boy! Who greenlit this one?
Number four this week.
Number four.
Yeah.
A Wrinkle in Time made $16.59. Total of 61.
61 on a budget of what?
Not listed on Box Office Mojo.
I would put this at least 120. Yeah, 125 million maybe because it's an effects heavy film.
It is not going to make its money back, Chris.
Not theatrically, at least not North American theatrically. No. See how it does worldwide. A Wrinkle in Time. I went and
worldwide
saw this.
71, only $10 million foreign.
All right, we don't know how many theaters it's in foreign though. That doesn't give us that info. But it doesn't seem like something that would translate so well internationally. Apparently, Black Panther isn't doing too well in China.
Really?
Like it made a decent enough money opening weekend, but it's not that well liked over there because the Chinese don't have the same exposure to African culture, and so they really don't know what the fuck's going on. Not even that, they literally just don't even give a shit.
Yeah.
They're like, black people, we don't care, we're Chinese, so they're not connecting to it. So then they're seeing past the African the trappings, the progressiveness of the way the movie looks and everything, and then they're just looking at the story beats. Which is, now it's just another Marvel movie.
Yeah.
So to them, it's just another Marvel movie.
Yeah,
there's nothing special about it. Nope. And they're like, no, it's the biggest budget black-led, black-made movie ever. And they're like, we don't care. We're Chinese. We barely have any black people here anyway.
Yeah, I'm actually probably going to go see that here in a little bit.
Too. Oh, man, it's so worth it.
Kept meaning to, and then work, you know.
Hey, work gets in the way. Work gets in the way. But it's for sure, right now, the best movie playing in theaters right now. But I did go see A Wrinkle in Time last night. Not too well reviewed on Rotten Tomatoes. It's kind of like in the middle on Rotten Tomatoes. So my expectations were low then going into this.
40%.
40% with a rating of, average rating?
5.2.
5.2. You can't get any more middle of the road than 5.2. Now, the movie itself isn't bad at all. It's not bad in any way, shape, or form. It's well directed. It's well, very well acted, extremely well acted.
Yeah.
The story doesn't even have any fat on it. It's less than 2 hours long, and it's always moving forward. It's progressing. It's good stuff. I think the reason why people aren't really responding to it is because it is fucking sad. This movie is... It's a sad movie, A Wrinkle in Time. The whole movie, I was shocked, and I was waiting for it to like start picking up. I'm sure some lessons will be learned, light is going to start taking over, and the movie's going to start, you know, get more buoyant and more joyful. The entire movie from start to finish has just a blanket of melancholy draped right over the whole thing. And so at the end, even when characters become triumphant and there's these big reunions and everyone's they're getting together and they're hugging, the people in the theater were crying. There was a lot of crying. Someone to the right of me, a few seats down, was like openly weeping, sobbing out loud. Like they couldn't control their crying out loud. I was shocked at how dour the movie is, because the main character is very, her father goes missing. Just disappears. So it's 4 years later. Everyone treats her like shit. Everyone doubts her every step of the way. No one has her side. No one believes in her. And then she doesn't believe in herself, and she hates herself. And it's just very sad. It is so sad. Oh my god.
Sounds like I'm not into that.
I would be wary. Be wary, people. Especially like the person next to me that was crying must have had severe mother issues or daddy issues, like parental issues that was then getting brought up. So if you have like parental issues, or if you lost a loved one recently, or I wouldn't actually be careful. Watch it at home where you can ugly cry without anyone noticing.
I'll just wait for it to be in the Crespo randomizer.
There you go. And then you're like, damn it, now I gotta watch it. Get me my Kleenex. I'm gonna cry all night. So I thought it was fine. You know, it is well made. It's got good music and it looks great. It makes some interesting choices, especially when it gets to the sci-fi stuff, the fantasy stuff. Oprah Winfrey, her character, is like 40 feet tall most of the movie. And you don't see that in the trailers. In the trailer, she's, quote, human size. But throughout the movie, she's like gigantic. She's hysterically huge. It's really funny. And she's fine. She's Oprah. She's fine. Chris Pine was really good.
Chris Pine's always good.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like him in the beginning. When I first started seeing him in movies, I wasn't the biggest fan. But lately, I've been liking him more and more. Star Trek, I think, maybe started doing the flip for me, where I was like, this guy's actually a really good Captain Kirk. Like, he's got the charisma and the swagger and overconfidence. I'm buying him, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody could replace Shatner as Kirk, and then he made it his own role.
He did not do
a Shatner impersonation like so many people do.
Which, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness he just did his own thing. In that very first movie, when the Kobayashi Maru test?
Kobayashi Maru, yeah.
And he's walking around with the apple, and he's eating the apple, and he's like so overly confident. It's like, this is good. I'm actually liking him in this. This is good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And he was good in this too, but then again, like, he's mostly just asked to be either full of wonder, wide-eyed, or be sad. So, and he does both those quite well.
He was even great in Wonder Woman too.
He was.
Yeah.
Yes. Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
He was good in Wonder Woman. Yeah. 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 I thought it was a disservice for him to be in what was that movie? Unstoppable, the train movie with Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Because his character is like a nothing character, and then so he doesn't have much to do, and then in the entire movie he is against the charisma machine that is Denzel Washington. He traffics in charisma. That is his currency. So you put anyone next to Denzel and you're gonna look like you're wooden, you know.
Yeah,
and
I was exactly.
like this is not a good look for Chris Pine. But then I've liked him more since then. Star Trek was after that. It's like, he does have charisma. He just, Denzel sucked it out of him like a succubus. He's a charisma succubus.
There we go.
And he took it all. He's like, no, this is how Denzel is Denzel.
Charisma bus.
I'm a charisma bus. The charisma bus is what I take to go in that round.
No, you don't. You don't take that thing anywhere.
I don't take the charisma bus anywhere.
You can't even get on. They won't even let you on the charisma bus.
They won't let me on the charisma bus?
Nope. Seat's taken.
Seat's taken. It's a charisma bus of Alabama.
Number three this week.
So it's taken.
I Can Only Imagine made $17.06 million, same as total.
You can only imagine what?
I can only imagine can only that this is
that,
a movie.
That what? You can only imagine...
This movie got made.
That movie made $17 million? So what's the movie that made $17 million that you can only imagine?
I Can Only Imagine. That's the name of the movie.
What is this movie, Drew?
I don't know.
We didn't even talk about it last week. We were talking about new movies.
Nope.
Is it a foreign film? Is it Spanish made? Is it?
Let's see.
Was it a Hindi film? Those sneak into the top.
It's 58%. No critics' consensus. Only 12 reviews.
Then how did it make $17 million? There's no marketing for it. No one knows about it.
Inspiring an unknown true story behind Mercy Me's beloved chart-topping song that brings ultimate hope.
It's a concert
Christian
movie. Christian-sploitation concert movie.
With the Quaid.
There you go. With the Quaid?
The Quaid.
With Dennis?
The Quaid.
Quaid, comma, Dennis?
Yes. Quaid, comma, Dennis.
Christian-sploitation, one of my favorite genres of film. It's probably made by that church. There's like one church that makes a lot of these movies.
The Kirk Cameron church.
Yes. Yeah, they made those Kirk Cameron movies, Fireproof and what's the other one? Fireproof is one where he's like addicted to masturbation, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's that
it's
one.
It's so hard.
Yeah. Oh god, oh they're so gorgeous with the titties. what's the other one he did? He did another one. Oh, he also did the Left Behind series back in the day.
In
the 90s. And then Nick Cage did a Left Behind movie a few years ago. That was so bad. It was so boring.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird, too. It's like, all right, we're going to do a Left Behind story, but while all the Left Behind stuff is happening down on Earth, we're going to be up in an airplane the whole time.
Yeah, just chilling.
With our non-Christian pilots, so, you know, that way the plane doesn't crash.
Mm-hmm.
Was he a backslidden Christian? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Fake Christian. It was Nicolas Cage. I just went and saw a Nicolas Cage movie. It's like, all right, here we go. He's going to be... And then he was so subdued.
Have you seen that trend where they're using that app to put Nicolas Cage in everything?
No. This sounds amazing.
There's some app that you can actually put people's faces, you know, onto. Okay. So I guess they've been putting Nicolas Cage's face on like all sorts of movies.
Oh my god, that's fantastic. That's great.
Nicolas Cage in everything.
He would pretty much improve any movie you include him in. Mm. Any movie.
Goodfellas?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Any role, he'd be great. Oh, especially that age. That was young Nick Cage. He was really going for it then. Man, oh man. Yeah, I'm in.
Number two this week, Tomb Raider made $23.5
million. $23
million? Budget of 94.
Ooh, that's a big budget. $23 million. I'm willing to bet it's less than what the first Tomb Raider made opening weekend, all the way back in the early 2000s, starring Angelina Jolie.
Probably.
The first one was directed by Simon West, who did, at least he did Con Air.
Yeah.
Which is a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first Tomb Raider's not bad. Nicolas Cage again. Yes, thank you. He's the what ties the universe together. You know, he's the antimatter that you don't see.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, he's the modern day, well, the other Kevin Bacon.
Yes, he is the other Kevin Bacon. He's better than Kevin Bacon because he's Nicolas Cage. Kevin Bacon, he hasn't been in much lately, you know? Kevin Bacon needs to step it back up again because he's losing his baconness. His baconosity.
Yeah, and bacon's hot right now.
Bacon's been so hot for the last few years. I feel like it's being taken over lately by pizza, though. Now pizza is the hottest thing that people... It was bacon, then avocado for a hot minute, but now it's pizza.
And what are you talking about? Basic-ass white bitches love their avocado toast. It'll never go away.
Yeah, I do, but I'm saying it's like overall on the internet, the fervor for it... The furor for it is over the top sometimes. Like, everyone's acting like pizza is life. I'm like, pizza is carbs and starch.
Tacos.
Pizza.
Yeah, well, you're in the right town for tacos,
seriously.
Let me tell you. Oh, my God.
I mean, hell, within... I could probably hit a taco shop just throwing a ball from this place.
Man, you can't throw a ball fucking out of our backyard. I've seen you throw. But yeah, there's so many taco places. It's stupid. And they're so good. They're so easy to make. Tacos. Shoutouts to Gringos Locos. They don't give us anything. Also, apparently, they stole their recipes from some dude. Anyway, if you want to know the real history of Gringos Locos, you gotta talk.
I got the scoop.
Come to the PFT Media Party March 24th at the Copper Rocket from 5 to 9. Drusa Cogburn will be there. He'll tell you about how Gringos Locos has a shady history that no one knows about. Except for Drew.
One of the best tacos I had recently was at the Market on Magnolia, the Gnarly Barley stand there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I had a brisket taco. Oh, it was amazing.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Is it on a traditional corn tortilla, or they do it on
a flour, I think.
A flour one? Is a hard taco, soft taco?
Soft taco.
Soft taco, okay.
It was damn good, though.
That sounds great. Yeah. Over here on Fairbanks, Hunger Street Tacos, which I think used to be a truck.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
And then so they opened up where the B&B B&B Junction.
Yeah,
the original Four Rivers turned to B&B Junction. Now it's Hunger Street Tacos. Man, that spot has been nothing but good food.
Yeah,
over the years, that little thing.
Yep,
Hunger Street Tacos is really, really good.
Yeah, there's almost always a line out there, aren't there?
Sometimes, not like Four Rivers style, where there was always a line. BB, when it was B&B, they never had a line.
Nope.
Which is a bummer because those were my favorite burgers in town.
Yeah, they were good.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider. So this movie came out. It's about a video game, and Alicia Vikander is in it. And
Academy
she's married
Award
to,
winning.
Well, Academy Award winning Alicia Vikander is in it, married to Academy Award nominated Michael Fassbender.
Whatever, they both make awful video game movies.
Yeah. Tomb Raider, although what's the rating, though, you said?
49%?
49%. That has to be the highest rated on Rotten Tomatoes video game movie. The highest rating.
Average rating, 5.4 out of 10?
5.4. I am willing to bet it's the highest rated one. I think Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, with a browned up Jake Gyllenhaal, had it like 39%.
Ooh.
And like in the 4 point something, and that was previously the highest rated. I can't remember what Assassin's Creed was. It may have been a little higher than Prince of Persia. But that being said, that's what I'm saying. All the video game movies are all poorly reviewed to the point where Tomb Raider comes out. It's down the middle of the road. Not bad, not good. The best video game movie ever?
Probably.
Question mark?
Oh, come on, I mean, Mario Brothers, come on.
Oh. So awful.
Oh, boy. I know.
Those
I know.
Fucking... Those weird jump boot things? What the hell was that?
That is a... that movie, the people who made it, like, don't even know what the video game was.
No.
Like, they got, like, they were told.
John Leguizamo is Luigi? Come
yes, yeah. Right. And then their character name, it's Mario Luigi and Luigi Luigi are their names.
Yes.
Which makes them the Luigi brothers.
Yeah.
Or, no, it's Mario Mario and Luigi Mario. So the Mario brothers, but their last name, Dennis Hopper, had no idea what he was doing. He was just like. Poor Bob Haskins. He hated doing that movie. I think he only agreed to do it because his kids convinced him to. Same thing happened to Tommy Lee Jones with Batman Forever. His kids convinced him to be... So then he's on set in this outfit with this dialogue. No idea. Hating Jim Carrey. Hating him. And he's like, I don't know why I'm here. I'm just getting paid and I'm going to get out of here as soon as I can. That's how those things happen sometimes. Because of the stupid kids. Damn, stop listening to children. Children are stupid. All right, today's lessons. Do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to children.
Don't have children.
Don't have children. But if you have them, don't listen to them. And I feel like I got another lesson. Put in a cage and everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Good enough.
And go see the number one movie, Black Panther.
5 weeks in a row, Black Panther.
Made an additional $27 million. Oh, total of $605 domestic. Another $577 foreign. Man. Worldwide $1.18 billion.
Man, oh man, that Black Panther, let me tell you, 5 weeks at number one, it's gotta be some sort of recent record of the last 10-15 years. I can't think of another movie that's been at number one for so long. Maybe Avatar. I think Avatar was the last movie that was number one for like six weeks in a row, because just like Black Panther, $20 million, over and over and over, because it's so good.
Well, wasn't The Dark Knight, wasn't that one,
it made a lot of money, but I don't think it was number one for so long, because The Dark Knight came out during the summer.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have a big movie coming out. Yeah, exactly, whereas they were smart to put out in February. Their biggest competition are movies like A Wrinkle in Time and Tomb Raider, which still isn't as big as a comic book movie, a Marvel movie. Yeah, so man, those geniuses at Marvel did it again. God damn them. As a matter of fact, it's making so much money. By this point, it will still be in theaters, probably pulling in about $5 million a weekend when Avengers comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too far from now, is it?
5 weeks away.
Holy shit.
It's only 5 weeks away. As a matter of fact, Ed, tickets went on sale the other day, and we are going to talk about that in the movie news section in the second half of the show.
Let me guess, already broke records.
We're going to talk about...
The movie's not even
true, out. We're going to talk about it in the second half of the show!
It's not even
second out. Second half of the show!
Second half.
Thank you, Ed. It's been a second.
Second half.
All right, so go see Black Panther. And we've talked about it so much now. We did a spoiler bonus episode. There's really nothing else for us to say. You said you want to go see it. You're going to check it out. It is definitely worth it, buddy. Wakanda forever. I was wearing my Wakanda shirt yesterday. I got a Wu-Tang W shirt that says Wakanda.
Nice.
And people were like, where'd you get that shirt? It's like, man, I've had this shirt for months. But now people are paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be my second favorite Wu-Tang shirt. My other one's the one that's got Ric Flair's face on it. Yeah, it's got, you know,
the logo. Woo?
Yeah, but it's just him with the woo, you know, the woo face.
That's awesome.
It's just Ric Flair. So
Wu-Tang. That is awesome. That Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is great.
Yes.
That is great. That's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's great. I want that. I want that.
Yeah, Lando, who's part of What Ails You, has one of them. And I saw him wear it when he worked at Thirsty Topher, and I was just like, all right, I want that.
That's awesome. Novelty Wu-Tang shirt wearers unite. All right, guys, let's get into new movies coming out on DVD. Two movies that disappointed people, and then one that surprised people, all coming out on DVD this week. First off, the disappointments. Downsizing comes out this week.
Oh, yeah.
That Matt Damon gets shrunk down movie.
And that looked like it could have been good.
It could have been.
But it wasn't the movie it was billed to be, apparently.
The trailer sells it as a high-concept comedy. So it's like, oh, look at him drinking vodka out of this giant Absolute bottle. Look at this. Look at the zaniness that happens when you shrink down and the whole downsizing concept. When you go see the movie, it's about a sad sack dude who gets divorced and is just sad and pathetic. And then he meets someone who teaches him the value that he can have in his life by helping poor. It's a bummer of a movie. Oh. And as a matter of fact, when the movie was over, I was like, didn't have to have the downsizing gimmick to begin with. It could have just been a normal. They could have told the exact same story without the science fiction angle of we're shrinking people down. It was very disappointing. Very disappointing. Also come out on DVD, which apparently disappointed people. I haven't seen it. Pitch Perfect 3. A lot of people really like the first one. Like a lot. People really like that first one.
And then I'm sure Law of Diminishing Returns.
Yes. The second one, the reviews were not as strong. And then the third one, the reviews were even worse. And I even read a great article from someone who she went with her husband and their kids. Took them because they all love the Pitch Perfect movie. So they went and saw the third one. And then she was so pissed off when the movie was over because it was all like propaganda for U.S. military. Because the whole thing is they go on a USO tour.
Yeah.
But then when the movie's over, she's like, this could have been, they didn't have to have the USO angle. This was just done to make the U.S. military seem like this great organization and it's all full of beautiful people. And there's this whole history in Hollywood of the Pentagon working directly with Hollywood producers. They even have an office of like a creative director office.
Yeah.
Who works with productions, and they get like, if you want anything to do with any sort of military stuff, you got to come through us. We have to have approval, which includes script changes, and it's wild, wild stuff. Beware of the propaganda that's out there, everyone. It's out there. Yeah. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Apparently, the big surprise. How much money do you sell the box office, Mojo?
Oh, Jesus. I thought that was still in theaters. I think so much damn money.
I think it still is, as a matter of fact.
It's number 12 this week. Made $1.6 million.
Come on! That's crazy!
Yeah.
Does it say how many theaters?
Hang on. Totaled almost $1 billion worldwide. We're at $939 million worldwide.
That's wild.
It is still currently in 1,500 theaters.
1,500 theaters? That's a wide release still. That's beyond second run theaters. They're still in first run theaters.
For 13 weeks.
13 weeks, still in first run theaters. That's amazing. Good for them. Still haven't seen it. So now whenever it comes out on Netflix or Amazon or whatever, I'll get around to seeing what everyone will find. So like, well, it'll be a good old Netflix streaming pick of the week. Did you hear that, Drew?
The tiny little.
Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, I don't know where I saw the trailer for this movie. It's unrated. Maybe it's not even coming out in theaters, but I Kill Giants.
What is that?
It's from the producers of the Harry Potter series. It's about a little girl who, like, she's having a rough life, so she reverts into her imaginary world of, you know, monsters and magic, and she, like, a little, just look at the fucking, like, tiny girl with a flaming hammer going up against whatever the fuck that thing is.
Against, looks like a giant,
robot. Somewhere I saw a trailer for this, and it looks very interesting.
Interesting. Ah, I wonder how many theaters will come out in this weekend. I Kill Giants. Okay, what else is coming out?
Also coming out this weekend.
Ed's a giant. You should stay away from that movie, Ed.
Speaking of Christian exploitation, Jim Caviezel is back as Paul.
Jesus is back as Paul,
Apostle of Christ.
There you go. Awesome. A week before. It's a week before. That's the Friday before Good Friday. So it's leading into Palm Sunday, and the Easter week is coming up. So that makes sense that would come out.
Yeah, you know, when Jesus turns into a rabbit that lays eggs.
Yeah,
it's a great story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the classic story of Jesus the Rabbit.
Yeah.
Jesus Rabbit.
Yeah.
Jesus Rabbit. Who lays chocolate eggs.
Lays chocolate cream-filled eggs.
So gross.
Yes.
Also coming out this weekend.
Eat that cream, Drew.
Sherlock Gnomes.
Get on that cream, Drew. You want my creamy eggs?
Sherlock gnomes, Chris.
Suck the cream out of my eggs,
Drew. Sherlock gnomes.
My chocolate eggs.
Chocolate.
My chocolatey eggs.
You should hang out with Ron.
Yeah, me and Ron on our chocolate eggs. Yeah, you can suck the cream out of our chocolate eggs, buddy.
You can read Ron's email.
No, you're reading Ron's email. That's the point. That's the point of you reading the emails, buddy. I sit here and listen. I go, ha, 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 ha. You get him, Ron. Sherlock Gnomes. Starring, I saw the trailer for this in front of A Wrinkle in Time.
Starring Emily Blunt, Johnny Depp, and James McAvoy, and Mary J. Blige.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for this in front of...
Please tell me Mary J. Blige is the frog.
I don't know who's who, but I do know that it looks like one of these movies that looks like a fake movie. Yeah. Like, it looks like everything bad about movies is in this movie. At one point, Sherlock Holmes... A gnome version of Sherlock Holmes.
Sure, so Sherlock gnomes.
And he's hanging out with the garden gnomes. They're up in a tree. They're looking out across the water. He's like, we need to get across that water. We need a ship. And then a gnome goes, no ship, Sherlock. And at that point, I stood up. I went to the concession stand. I waited in line for 20 minutes. I bought a giant bucket of soda. One of those soda buckets. I came back into the theater. And then I hurled it at the screen. I said, no, you can't do that. No.
They did.
Stop it. Stop it.
They did it.
By that point, the movie had started.
Yeah.
People were very confused about what I was doing. But I made my point. I felt very strong and clear about it.
So. Also coming out this weekend, Pacific Rim Uprising.
There we go. I saw a trailer for this today on TV, and it mentioned that it was coming out on Friday. And I was shocked because I feel like the marketing for this has been lackluster.
Well,
yeah, I didn't even know it was coming.
Exactly. Like, I was surprised. I thought it was a summer movie for some reason. Like, I can't believe it's already here.
You want, well, there's probably a reason for that, Chris.
What do you think, Drew?
A, it's an action sequel. B, Guillermo del Toro's name is nowhere near it.
He's only a producer.
And C, from the first preview that showed little to nothing except for John Boyega.
And fighting,
I was interested. Second one... I don't give a shit about this movie.
I can't even
anymore.
Think of the second trailer. I only remember the first one.
Second trailer.
That had the DMX.
Second trailer is just more, no, Tupac. More Tupac. Robots and more kaiju.
Yeah, just more robots, more kaiju. Yeah. That's all it looks like.
I don't care. At all.
My interest level for this is shockingly low. Shockingly low. And I'm all for giant robot movies.
Yeah, like, me too. But I don't give a shit about this
I love
movie.
Them. Yeah, it's weird. It is really weird. I hope the reviews aren't terrible. I have a feeling, though, it's going to be bad. Because just the fact that there's so little marketing for it.
That, and the fact that they're putting
like Universal
it,
is like
and the fact that they're not putting it out in June or July.
Yeah, maybe that could have been more calculated though, because they picked this release date before the movie was made. Mm-hmm. So they were maybe just thinking, we're just gonna avoid the summer altogether and hope for a big March or a big April. Movies still do that. Yeah. I mean, Batman vs Superman was a March movie.
Yeah.
And Justice League was a November movie. DC is really trying to do these outside of summer things. I think just so they can get out of Disney's way, because Disney's crushing things. When Disney bumped up Avengers 1 week, that fucked up the whole movie schedule. All movies, they all shifted around the calendar. They all got messed up because like some people had to get out of the way. All the people were like, oh, now we can take advantage of this 1 week that's kind of open for our little movie counter programming. Movie schedule is crazy. The producers, the Hollywood studios, they pick their release dates like 2, 3, 4 years in advance sometimes.
Yeah,
and then. Sometimes another studio will plop their movie down on the same date.
And they're like, oh, fuck.
And then they got to play chicken. Like, who's going to move first? Disney, Lucasfilm, shockingly found themselves in the game of chicken with James Cameron's Avatar sequels. And they're the ones who caved, which is wild. They're like, we'll go back to putting our movies out in May. You can have... Christmas, Mr. Cameron.
Yeah, but it's all yours.
But now Disney, with their acquisition of Fox, means now they own Avatar. So now it doesn't matter. They own everything anyway.
Do we really need an Avatar sequel?
Absolutely not. No.
But we're getting four of them.
We're getting fucking four of them.
How many ways can you tell Dances with Wolves/
Fern Gully? Yeah. Well, this one's going to be an underwater version, apparently.
So, there we go.
Well, that's the one
so
thing.
So, the cat people have grown gills,
they'll be underwater. The thing with James Cameron, the only thing I'm latching on to with James Cameron, these Avatar movies, is his technological advancements, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, the reason Avatar sequels are taking so long is because he had to invent whole new motion capture underwater photography in order to do the scenes that he wants to do. So the only reason to watch it is to see the technical feat of the movie. If the story is passable, then that's just bonus.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been an innovator too. I mean, yes. Like, what was it? What was it? The Abyss?
Yeah, that water effect.
That polymorphing thing. It was like an underwater thing, and then it kind of leads into Terminator 2.
Exactly, that's what gave them the idea of being able to do the liquid metal Terminator.
Yeah, exactly. Rewatching
Were you there with me when we saw Terminator 2D?
Mm-hmm.
2.5D?
Mm-hmm.
They did a re-release of Terminator 2 in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not good in terms of the 3D. Like, there was a couple scenes where the 3D looked great.
Yeah.
And most of it looked like I'm just awful. Watching a movie with fucking gray sunglasses on, like an idiot.
That's still one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's so great. It's so great that, how long is that? 2.5 hours?
Something like that. It doesn't feel like it.
Flew by. And I've seen it a dozen times.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, like, we're right around the same age. We've grown up watching this movie over and over and over. This is my first time seeing it in the theater since it originally came out. It blew my mind how quickly that movie moves and how entertaining it is in a setting like that.
Yeah, it's one of those that if I see it on TV, I either start watching it or I just say, screw this, I'm going to go pop the Blu-ray in.
Yeah, exactly. Then I can look at a really good version without commercials.
Exactly.
And then, like, I was surprised by how great looking the liquid metal effect is. Like, it still holds up.
It still holds up, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like the Jurassic Park effects. Where a lot of those digital effects still hold up. And it's because at that time, they didn't know what they were doing. So instead of just using the prescribed formula to make their effects, they were trying to invent the effect to get the result that they wanted. So they kept working and working and working. So finally, it looks real. Now, people just take the tools and they insert their data. And then it comes up with a final thing. And like, oh, that's as far as our tools are going to get us. They're not going to get us any better. Render complete done. And that's why CG now sometimes looks worse than some of those original CG things in the mid-90s. That's why the 3D in T2 3D, which doesn't exist anymore at Universal, the 3D on that ride is better than 3D in movies you see today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's wild how and, that... Oh, God.
Yeah, speaking of Terminator 2.
Yep.
Did you ever see the alternate ending to it?
Which one is on the DVD?
Yeah, it's on the DVD.
I probably watched it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, and it's basically at the end, you know, Sarah Connor is like 80, you know.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, watch that. I mean, I think that's how they should have just ended this, you know, just said, you know what?
And then we're done. And then we're done with these things.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately, we're getting Terminator 6 coming here pretty soon.
You know, I'll be honest with you, as dumb as it was, I did not hate the concept behind Genesis.
I didn't hate the concept at all. I actually thought it's a time travel story anyway, so you're having fun with time travel. I went into it very optimistic. I was like, I hope this works, but it just felt like it fell flat, it fell apart. Some of the choices they made. Like, I like that we're going to recreate scenes from the first Terminator.
That was cool.
Yeah, like we're going to revisit the first movie, but see it from a different perspective, and then things are going to change. And but then, like, I'm not a big fan of CG Arnold. Especially when real Arnold walks up to him.
Yeah, it looks so awful.
Yeah, and then it's like, and then you look at CG Arnold. Like, oh, CG Arnold looks fine.
CG Arnold doesn't. It's like the young Johnny Depp and the young. I've seen young Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, CG young Arnold Schwarzenegger is not young Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And then the thing too is young Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't look like old Arnold Schwarzenegger because he had the chin reduction surgery. He had his jawline shaved down. He used to have that wide jaw, and now it's more like a westernized jaw. I don't know how you want to describe it. So he literally just like looks different as an older person.
Yeah, there's some movies that do really well with the younger effect. Like what was it? Was it Civil War with Captain America with young Robert Downey Jr.?
Robert Downey Jr. was interesting. My favorite of the Marvel ones was young Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah.
And Ant-Man. I was like, that Gordon Gekko just walked into the scene. Mm-hmm. This is like 1989 Michael Douglas. That blew me away. The Johnny Depp one in Pirates was bad.
Awful.
Going all the way back to the first Captain America, tiny Chris Evans was an impressive effect.
That was really cool looking. Yeah, I mean,
that was a very impressive effect. I was like, I know Chris Evans ain't that small, so this is really cool looking.
Yeah.
So it's a give and take. Some of them looks good, some of it doesn't, you know. But pretty soon we'll get to a point where all actors will be CG and fake, and we can't trust our eyes anymore.
It'll be like the last movie on the list, which is Isle of Dogs. Everything will just be animation.
Isle of Dogs comes out this weekend. Yay!
New Wes Anderson.
I love dogs too.
I love Wes Anderson.
And I love Wes Anderson movies. Wes Anderson likes to kill dogs in his movies, and this is a movie about dogs, so we'll see how many dogs die.
A lot of them.
Probably. It's a weird thing that he does. But he's fantastic. I'm Royal Tenenbaum's one of my favorite movies. Rushmore also is fantastic. And more recent stuff's good too. Yeah. Grand Budapest Hotel. Moonrise Kingdom.
Man, I love it when Ray finds this fuck.
He's like, fuck. No, that's in Bruges, actually.
So he does it in the Grand Budapest Hotel at the end. Like, when he's talking to the... at the very end, when they're on the train mm-hmm. and the guards come in, mm-hmm. he just starts going off on them like, fuck this and fuck that. And I love it. Yeah, it's hilarious. Good
stuff. He knows how to curse well.
Yeah, he does.
He can curse well. Isle of Dogs, I'm looking forward to it. I love that trailer. And I also like that it's the same trailer over and over. So it's not mm-hmm. like we're getting any more information. Just the right amount of information for that movie. Fantastic. All right, Drew, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Where's that button? Oh, it's this one.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. The doctor is in with your prescription for life. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, I just want to reiterate one of our finer points of, I think, the podcast, both today and of all time, that drugs are good. And you should do more of them. Okay? Cogburn out.
That's right. Do your drugs, people. And if you're under-drugged, we will report you to the proper authorities for criminal drug evasion. Crespo Disco time. We're going to take a break. We're going to play a song. I grabbed a song from the Wrinkle in Time soundtrack. Oh. They got Sade to do a couple songs. Sade, Drew. Mm-hmm. Come on. She's still around.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing music.
Mm-hmm.
Jess is good.
So it makes you want to fuck? Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'll just be in the other room.
I want to fuck that Wrinkle in Time. How do you fuck a wrinkle? Guys, here's a Sade song. I think it's called Flower something. Flower Veranda. I don't know what it's called. But it's very cool. It's really good. I enjoy it. And then we're going to be back with a second half of the show. We got a bunch to talk about. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
They come to see a fire burning in your heart. They want to witness this love from the start. They hear you when you cry. This love is far and wide. When you smile, the stars align. Ooh.
Welcome to the Crespo.
Go Woo on a what? Go Woo on something?
The Ric Flair just goes Woo on a bitch. What's that what you're looking for?
The misogyny, Drew. We don't need the misogyny. How Woo. Dare you?
I'm just quoting a song.
How dare you?
Ric Flair's in the video.
I lost my headphones.
It's hilarious.
Everything just went silent on me. Oh my goodness. So that's what happens to people. I've seen this happen to people before.
And now it's happening to you?
Now it's happening to me where it pops out.
It's a really good thing this isn't a video podcast.
No, it's a shame it's not a video podcast. They could have seen that little bit of a little bit of fuckery. Oh, I got one of those.
Close enough.
Jinx. Buy me some cocaine. Drew Cogburn, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, some places on the internet.
That's right. Email him at gotaminute@antihero419.com for the best deals in local edible space cakes.
Sure.
How many space bucks does that cost?
Oh, man.
1 billion.
1 billion space bucks! Ed.
I only have 1 million.
First off, Ed, I forgot to. We were supposed to do this on the break. Why don't you grab those beers out of the fridge, buddy? Let's have ourselves some drinks. For people who don't know, if this is your first time hearing about Ed, first off, like I said, listen to Ed on State of the Beer Union. Great show. But Ed works with Tomoka Beer. He is in the industry.
Thanks, sir.
And what did you bring us today? Fade away. Haven't you had this on State of the Beer?
Yes, we did.
Like episode 6, I believe, right?
Yeah, and I really did this because I had some of this, and you know, I knew we didn't really want to do an IPA. Right. And I really like
Drew, not the biggest fan of IPAs.
I really love Civil Society.
Yeah.
They're one of the breweries that you know you get a lot of hype behind, but they actually back it up.
Civil Society Brewing Company. I've actually don't know these guys. They're from Jupiter?
Yeah, so kind of small, but they've got a really big following, and I went down and visited them, talked for a little while. They took care of us. Mm-hmm. They gave me a bunch of beer to drink, and I'm like,
what are you going to say no?
Yeah, right?
you can't say no to free beer.
Exactly. But I'm going to take a picture of that so I can put it on and people can see it.
Absolutely. And there's me saying absolutely again.
Hey.
Absolutely.
Absolutely is a great word. There we go. So it's a porter.
Yes.
What are the characteristics on this thing? What can we look for as we're drinking it?
It's got a little bit of a hop character to it in the background, but just really, really roasty, almost coffee-like.
Oh yeah. Look at the
it's brown.
It looks like a Malta Goya the way it bubbled up like that.
There. Yeah. And you know these guys, they were super nice, just really cool to talk to and everything. And then they gave me some beer to take home, and I'm like, all right, well, you know what? I didn't even mention the show or anything, so I was like, you know, I'm just gonna give them some free publicity.
Hey, guys, Civil Society, you're making a delicious porter here.
And they're more known for their
very like coffee forward, yeah.
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 And they're more known for their IPAs and their, you know, their juicy wheat beers, stuff like that, that are more hazy, like what the new standard of
beers they're chewier beers?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And they're known for unfiltered, hazy style late edition beer?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. A Chuyatel beer?
I was going to say a Chuyatel EGF4 beer?
A Chuyatel EGF4 beer. Unfiltered Chuyatel EGF4. Fade Away by Civil Society. This is really good stuff. Thanks, buddies. Mmm.
Yeah.
Big boy can, too. 16 ounces. 7.5%. Mm-hmm. Be careful. That's you're talking Cigar City High Ally levels.
Yeah. That's a doozy.
I ran into someone from Terrapin, randomly a few nights ago. Told me that I was like, oh yeah, Terrapin. You know, like a lot of people, I was a big fan of Hops. I am a big fan of Hops Executioner. Went through a big IPA phase a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And like 1 week it was a 6-pack of Hops Executioner. The next week it was 6-pack of Cigar City High Ally. Like going back and forth between those two. You know. And he's like, oh well. But then I was like, you know, you can't. I sit down and drink 3-4 of those a night, and then it blows my face off. I gotta, done. You know, I'm done. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, we're getting ready to put out a session IPA, a session Hopsecutioner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's a Hopsecutioner, but with a lower APV. ABV? ABV.
Yeah,
ABV. APV is America's... No, AFV is America's Funniest Home Videos.
Mm-hmm. What is APV, Chris?
America's Pussiest Home Videos?
America's Penis Videos?
America's... I'm sitting with Pussiest. Yeah. Which has nothing to do with vaginas and everything to do with the pussification of America, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Yeah,
That means something, I think. The right wing, I don't know.
You know, like you were saying, you were talking about Terrapin.
I mean,
I'm actually... been really good friends with a lot of the guys there, and we talk about John Cochran, who's a mentor of mine.
Oh, yeah?
One of the founders.
Mm-hmm.
But then this past weekend at Cigar City's big Hunahpu Day Festival, not this past weekend,
it was like a week before. Yeah, right, yeah.
On the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of run into everybody who's in the business, you know, back there. And, of course, Spike, the you know, founding brewer and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just sitting there drinking some beer with him, just chilling. I mean, everybody, you know, no matter what, all these guys are just so approachable, and that's why we do the show this way. It's just to be...
Craft beer seems like that way. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of podcasting, where it's like a lot of people are all in it together. It's a community, and there's sure there's a little bit of competition. Everyone wants to be the best, but we're also supporting each other, and we want to hear what the other shows are doing. We want to try the other company's beers.
Oh,
so that's when you see brewers showing up at other breweries, like anniversaries and beer release days and stuff like that, which is very, very cool.
Definitely. I mean, Terrapin's taken care of me a few times. We've gone up and visited their brewery a few times. They give a, you know...
In Athens, Georgia, right?
Yeah. Athens. Yeah, and, very cool. Yeah, no matter what, I mean, no matter what goes on with them, I will always support those guys.
They just
do nothing but the greatest.
Hey, I appreciate them. They're good. And I also like Tomoka Beer, which is who you're working with directly.
Yes.
Right, out of Ormond Beach.
Actually, we started in Ormond Beach.
Okay.
We are in Port Orange.
In Port Orange?
We have both locations.
Oh, okay.
Port Orange is our production.
Is that
production and restaurant.
Is that and restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I did not know that. Do you know, like, what does Smoke have anything, like, on tap or anything that exciting that they have coming out that you want to promote or you can tease? Or?
Oh, we've got quite a few really good beers out there.
Yeah.
One of the big ones that our beer nerd beer is we see our Tom Yum Thai Goza showing up all over the place.
I tried that one. That's, a sour? No.
Yeah, it's a little sour with four different chili peppers.
Chili peppers, then. That's right. Yes, yeah. It's literally a Thai flavor, Thai-infused beer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we have our Elvis Peanut Butter Banana Brown Ale, which was a 2014 Best Florida Beer Gold Medal winner.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
What we served at Cigar City's Hunahpu Day, and there'll probably only be two or three kegs that leave the brewery from any further on, the rest will stay there, is we have our barrel-aged Peter the Great Russian Imperial Stout, and it was done with Woodford Reserve rye whiskey barrels.
Really?
And it's amazing.
Is that... Okay, so is this barrel age? Are you doing the... Because I know that there's now a process where you can kind of do it a little faster...
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're doing, or is it the old school, like, it's literally sitting in...
Old school, sit in the barrel for 6 months.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and
so
it
good.
Really picked up a lot of that rye.
Yeah, the rye, the... So what we're getting some, like, hints of, like, rye, like, whiskey or rye scotch, and then a little bit of, like, oakiness with the barrel itself.
Yeah.
That's so fun. That's so cool. And I gotta tell you, I've been drinking a lot less beer lately. Just because, you know, health-wise, it's not like I'm not trying to drink. I'm just drinking vodka now. But drinking a lot less beer because of the calories. So when I do drink beer, I want it to be a good beer. I really want to be able to enjoy it. So I'm really enjoying these fadeaways. And the stuff that Tomoka is doing is the type of stuff that I want to try.
Awesome.
Obviously, we're always talking up OBP on the show, Orange Blossom. You know,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, Tom's a good friend of mine, too.
Yeah. I've talked to Tom. I said, hey, Tom, we got a show with Ed with Save the Beer. He just smiled and shook his head. He was like, oh, Ed, that guy. He was like, that guy is a lovable dude. So, yeah, he was into it.
Tom is one of those people that has been a big inspiration, and he's stood behind me in my career.
Very cool.
In ways that I didn't think he would.
You know,
like, he tried to get me in with a distributor a couple times. He wrote a recommendation letter for my previous job.
Wow.
And
very nice.
You know, I was just like, it's kind of humbling to see someone like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Because he's been on the forefront, you know, before people knew what craft beer was, that beer could taste good.
Yeah.
He was like, guys, I'm making this stuff with honey.
Yeah, he was fighting the good fight for the longest time.
Yeah, and it's like, we talk about it all the time with him. The beers that he makes, Orange Blossom Pilsner especially... it's like perfect for weaning people off of your Yinglings and your Bud Lights and your Coors Lights.
It is very approachable.
Approachable, quaffable, drinkable, whatever you want to call it. And it's good flavor, but it's not overpowering. It's just like, this is just good drinking beer. Drink it. And then once you get into that, you see, now you can leave behind this other stuff. Be willing to try some more things, like maybe this Thai beer with four different chilies in it, Drew.
Hi-yo.
Four different chilies.
I don't care about that weird stuff anymore.
you're past the weird stuff?
The weird
you
stuff.
Just brought over some banana apple cider yesterday. What are you talking about? You're king weird right now.
It's delicious.
It was good. It was really good. We had a banana apple cider yesterday.
Is it
the Slim Pickens?
Yes, it was.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Todd The guy Todd behind that, he's a really good guy. Yeah. And like, if you actually look at some of the labels, like the one for that, he did one as a collaboration. It was called Make Mama Proud. And it was actually his mother was on the label.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's sweet.
She, yeah, she goes out and helps him at beer event, really? Events and everything. So
I'm a mama's boy, so I find that sweet. That's very nice.
You were a grandma's boy for a while.
I was a literal grandma's boy. I was living in my grandmother's house, smoking weed in her garage. It was a very trying time.
That movie was based on a true story?
Dude, when that movie came out, I was living at my grandmother's house.
I was
out of college.
Life imitating art.
I was out of college, living in my grandmother's house, and it came out in middle of January, right around my birthday, like the week of my birthday. I was like, this is a birthday present to me. So then I went and saw it, and then I loved it.
Actually, wouldn't that be art imitating life at that point?
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was as if they were looking through a window and like, we're making a movie about this guy. He sucks at video games, so that's the part we're right around. Drew's the Cogburn versus the world. Time for Drew's the Cogburn versus the world. Drew, are you ready for this? Drew's the Cogburn versus the world. Ish, he's ready. Ish, Ed, ready-ish. Are you ready? Ish,
as ready as I'll ever be.
All right, it's not like I warned you ahead of time or anything. Drew, so far this year you've faced 10 opponents and you've defeated 6 of them.
Not bad.
6-4, not a bad record. And you won last week against Peter Von Taborski from Scotch and Good Conversation. So you get to go first. You haven't done that show, right?
I haven't.
I have to get you on as a guest on that show. You and Leslie both make great guests for that show. This week's game is called Be or Me. Name the movie or TV show that this fake beer is from. And I'm going to tell you, for both groups, I have two groups of 5. In both groups, it's 4 TV shows and a movie. I'm going to ahead and give you that info right now. It's almost entirely TV shows.
Okay.
So, for example, if I was going to say Duff Beer...
Simpsons.
Okay. So, Drew, you got to go first. I have 2 groups of 5. A or B. What do you want? A or B.
B.
All right. Group B. Oof. I don't know if you made the right choice here.
I obviously did not.
Number 1. Monkey Shine.
Excuse me?
Monkey Shine.
Futurama.
Ooh, Friends. I'm sorry, that's from Friends. There's a monkey joke in that show.
Oh.
Marcel the monkey.
Yeah.
Number 2, Buzz Beer.
Drew Carey Show.
Drew Carey Show is correct. Number 3, Lowbrow. That is Futurama.
Oh, and it's B-R-A-U, isn't it?
Correct.
Oh.
Just like Off-Brow.
Correct. Yeah. Number 4, Brockman.
I got no idea.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. A show set in a bar. Number 5. You're not getting this one. Elsinore.
No fucking idea.
That is Strange Brew, putting you at 1-5. Ed, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Name the TV show or movie. Number 1, Schrader Brow.
Oh, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is correct. Number 2, Dharma Initiative Beer.
Lost.
That is correct. Number 3, Alamo Beer.
Oh, man. I got this one. Alamo Beer. I feel like it's one of these cartoon ones. No. I'll pass.
Pass? All right. You're on the right track. King of the Hill.
Oh, shit.
King of the Hill.
I almost said... It had to be in Texas.
Yeah,
like,
you're dancing all around it there. Number 4, Chango.
Chango. No, I'm out.
Yeah, that one. I would have accepted multiple answers for Chango because it's in El Mariachi, Desperado, Once Upon a Time in Mexico... Several Robert Rodriguez movies. Chango, it tastes like piss because we pee in it. Number 5, Red Beer.
Red Beer. Oh, man. Red Beer. Almost sounds like a How I Met Your Mother kind of thing. Let's go. Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother? The answer is Archer. It's from Archer.
How do I miss... That's one of my favorite shows.
Is it? There you go. Well, still, Ed... with 2 out of 5. You still are the winner. Me. Well done.
Yes.
Knocking Drew down to a record of 6-5. I mean, nicely done, sir.
And I use Archer quotes in the show all the time. Like, come phrasing,
on.
Man.
Come on, buddy. Well, Redbeard. That's the, it's from the 80s. I think it's like the Rush one of them.
What was it? What was that? When they had to jump in the,
Oh, I don't know. I don't actually watch.
Jump in the car.
I don't actually watch the show. I just got this from some Up Rocks list online.
Okay.
Drew, if I said, I almost put this one. If I said, Anaconda Malt Liquor.
Sir Mix-a-Lot video?
No. Close.
Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite is correct.
Yeah.
What if I said Rocket Fuel Malt Liquor? And its slogan is Rocket Fuel Malt Liquor. Damn!
No.
News Radio.
Oh.
A news radio episode.
Oh, you're right. That was
Phil Hartman. Rest in peace, Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
All right, so people, Tomoka Beer, check them out. If you're near Port Orange, check out their restaurant. Let us know what kind of delicious food stuff they have there. And if you see Ed around, say hi, shake his hand, ask him for some drinks and or drink suggestions. I was gonna say, but maybe he'll have drinks on him as well. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. You'll see me at Pints and Paws the same day as the PFT Media.
That's right, Pints and Paws, which is earlier in the day that afternoon. Yep. Actually, works out kind of great as long as you don't get too hammered at one event. You can come to ours afterwards.
Exactly.
There's a lot going on Saturday, man.
Oh yeah.
Pints and Paws in Sanford. We got our event. There's Alice Cooper is in town.
Yeah, I know. I'm mad.
Yeah.
Go to
dude, man. There's a lot going on here in Orlando, so it's a happening place to be. So if you want to take any time out of that Saturday and hang out with us at the Copper Rocket in Maitland from 5 to 9, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have AJ in Evolution. AJ Fritcher will be playing from 6 to 8 p.m., and he's going to be taking, during his breaks, because he can't play for 2 hours straight, during his breaks, Simon Time is going to jump up on the stage, grab a microphone, and we're going to do like impromptu trivia on the spot to give away prizes. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So,
yeah.
People come out to that, and hopefully, as long as Ed can make it through Pints and Paws? Paws and Pints?
Yes, Pints and Paws.
As long as you can make it through that and make it down to Maitland, you'll be able to meet Ed as well as Leslie Joe, and maybe even
Duncan.
Yeah, that idiot beard. Duncan, Leslie's cute little dog. And Steve Etchie will definitely be there because he co-runs PFT. So if he's not there, we're going to have a problem. hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo and email us cinemacrespo@gmail.com. Ed, where can people find you online?
I am a Tomoka Beer Guy on Facebook, Instagram, and Untapped, all that kind of stuff.
Tomoka and, Beer Guy, all together. And then you also co-run the State of the Beer Union social media stuff, right? Yes. Like the Instagram and all
and
that?
The Facebook, yeah.
You guys do a great job with the social media, I gotta say.
Try.
I run the PFT Instagram account. Mm-hmm. And all I'm really doing is finding all of our podcasters' stuff and just re-gramming it. Yeah. That's like a majority of the content on the PFT Instagram account. You guys give me enough to, like, thank you. Thank you for giving me content to re-gram. Some of our other podcasters, like the Poke and the Bear guys, they're on Instagram.
Didn't use that much.
But they're not on Instagram. They're not using that stuff. When I see, like, a video from Ryan Holmes, like, oh my God, there's a Ryan video. I have something to repost, you know? So thank you so much. I even messaged you. I told you, like, you did a video where you were at the Beer Hub.
Yeah, Brew Hub.
Brew Hub, and you just the video of the cans, just the way the cans went around the room, and how here they flip over here, and here they get filled, and here the tops go on. And I was like, I'm sitting on the shitter, watching this video, like, this is fucking fascinating. This is a really good video.
Yeah, it just happened to be they were canning one of our beers because we do 2 beers through them.
Yeah,
we can't keep up with the production in the small facility.
Good problem to have.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they were doing one of ours. They just happened to have the canning running, and I'm like, all right.
Perfect.
Well, perfect time for a live video.
That's the absolute perfect way to use that that Instagram account, that social media. Well done.
Yeah.
That's cool. The Brew Hub is a pretty cool place, too.
Yeah.
Tom is still out there with OBP. I think he's their biggest client out there now since Cigar City moved out.
Yeah, since Oscar Blues took over production for Cigar City in certain areas.
Oh, did they really? So Oscar Blues took over?
Yeah, like Highlight is still done down south in Tampa.
Yeah.
But then also it's being produced in the Brevard location of Oscar Blues and pretty much all the other breweries, too.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I actually sat and talked with Wayne from Cigar City, which we'll actually have an interview go up with him on our podcast at some point.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes. That's another thing. That's why people are going to want to listen to State of the Beer Union, because you're talking to actual people in the industry. You're not just sitting around a table and like, what is this week's beer? Oh, we bought this at the store, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like, no. Real info, real people. I can't talk the show up enough. It's a good show, man. I'm very proud that it's part of the network.
I'm glad you guys had us. Just, you know, like I said, one of my friends, Todd Greeny, just happened to know Steve, got us in touch, and yeah, here we are.
There you go. Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, I gotta say. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, I'm looking at the show notes for episode 271. All right, here we go. 271. That was 270. All right, so we got that. Plugs, smoke a beer, people drink it, save the beer union, listen to it. Cinema Crespi, so you're listening now. Come to our party, PFT Media Party, and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and review State of the Beer Union as well.
Please do.
Because, quite frankly, they just got started, guys. They need the reviews. They need the ratings, and they need the reviews. Drew.
Chris.
What long email do you want to start with first? The People's or our homie Bill?
The People's are a lot shorter than Bill's this week.
All right, well then let's start with the People and the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right, Vox Populi time. It's a segment of the people, the voice of the people. You hit us up, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and we will read your emails on the show. Drew, take it away.
We got an email from Ron.
What is up, Ron? Ron is our homie out in L.A. We love Ron, one of our L.A. correspondents. It's Ron and Jason out there. Yeah, hi, Ron.
Subject is, oh boy, and that's all I...
His subject is, oh boy?
I pre-read the email, and I'm about to say some things that I am not comfortable saying.
Good job, Ron. You're making Drew blush.
Well, with movies like Call Me By Your Name and Black Panther and now Love, Simon, I have been asked specifically my opinions on these movies.
Maybe we should clarify Love Me By Your Name, Call Me By Your Name, Love, Simon, and Black Panther. Reason Ron is being asked about these movies. He's gonna explain. He's gonna explain. I'm sorry, Ron. I was mansplaining before you could gay-splain it. All right, gay-splain it.
Because my perspective and my voice is unique to all of these movies. Now, should I feel pride about this new acceptance in mainstream media, or should my view be staunch? Or because I am just a normal guy who doesn't sunburn and loves to eat hairy ass and have fat cock in his mouth from time to time. Like I said, he will explain.
Why does it gotta be hairy ass,
he
Ron?
Will explain. He likes the bears, Chris. You know that. Okay, he likes them hairy.
But he likes you, though. You're not a bear.
I don't watch movies like 12 Years a Slave or The Slave Riot on, but I did see The Mudbound for MJB. Mm-hmm. I am not about watching something I know is horrible, like I didn't watch Schindler's List. It's just not me.
True.
So am I a bad black for not supporting that stuff? Also, I know the narrow, needy, normal, and nonchalant Drew does not have a need for his culture in movies, because I'm white.
Yeah.
But Chris, do you have something other than Puerto Ricans in Paris that sets your culture in the movie spotlight? Yeah. And if not, if it does come out, are you obligated to see it?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to see Love, Simon eventually for the show, though. I am too drunk to drive there and horny, and I got a fat-ass Mexican coming over today, so I have to clean my room. Much love, Mr. Rep.
Oh, my God. You eat that fat Mexican ass, Ron, and give yourself indigestion.
Oh, God.
I love Ron. He is so awesome.
He is.
He's great. Great questions, though, actually. Puerto Rican representation in movies. Yeah, I never see Puerto Rican culture in movies. I've railed about this now for a while. If Benjamin Pratt does another... Pratt or Brat? I always fuck that up. Pratt. If Benjamin Pratt does another movie where he's a fucking drug dealer, I'm going to track him down and cut off his testicles and shove him in his mouth. If that's how much he wants to identify with that kind of fucking culture. I'm really sick of any time a Spanish person's in a movie, they're either a maid or a criminal. And that happened in Logan. Started with Logan having to fight off a bunch of cholos. And I was like, I just want to watch a cool comic book movie, so why has it got to start with fucking stereotypes, you know? So I understand it. So, Ron, yes, if a movie comes out that seems to be promoting Puerto Rican culture in some way, do I feel an obligation to support it? I think I do, because I feel like we need to prove that people want to see this kind of stuff so we get more of it. I want my Puerto Rican version of Black Panther. I want a $200 million movie that's like Spanish influenced, you know, but it's still for everyone. Like Black Panther, it's a very black-influenced movie, but it's for everyone. And I want the Spanish version of that. And then it doesn't even have to be Puerto Rican. It could be Caribbean. It could be Cuban. That's how sad it is. It could be Mexican, and I'll latch onto a Mexican superhero. I love Oscar Isaac. Part of it is because he's half Guatemalan. All right? We got a vaguely brown guy in movies. So now I'm like, I love this guy. He's the best. Oh, my God, Oscar. I'll eat his air, yes. How about that, Ron?
I'm sure you would.
Would I? Yes. Yeah, I'd ask him to shake his head. Like, can we nair this asshole first? I'm not all about the hairs, man. Big difference between me and Ron right there. I don't want them hairy asses, man. So I do agree with that. Now, Ron also had another thing in here. I would like to see what you guys think about this, you white fellas. Mm-hmm. He's always about movies like 12 Years a Slave and The Birth of a Nation and how they're like, or even mentioned Schindler's List and the movies about like rough things to watch, hardships in human history. Often about a group of people being, you know, persecuted. Exactly. And he doesn't feel the obligation to see that because, like, he knows. Mm-hmm. So does that make him, in his words, a bad black?
No. I mean, no, not necessarily.
I don't think so.
I mean, once again, you know, you're going to see a movie it's for you. It's a subjective thing. So if it's not something you're into, don't go see it.
I feel like movies like this are kind of made for people like us, where we're not in tune to the black experience. Yeah. We didn't grow up like really paying attention to black history.
Yeah, I mean,
so yeah, it helps for us to see something like 12 Years of Slave, like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like, I'll never know what it's like to not have, you know, mass representation of
right.
Because I'm a white guy.
You know? So you're represented everywhere you look. I mean, just look in the room, all those stuff we have on the walls. It's
nothing but white males,
80%
much.
White males.
Yeah.
To the point where when women come to this room, like, sorry, there's the only women in here are naked ones. I apologize for that.
My bad.
You know, but I mean, it's what we've been given, though.
Yeah.
This is the media that we've been given, that we're living with, and it's our culture. Our culture venerates this image.
I mean, there are bits and pieces. I mean, we got.
We do have. We have Ripley.
A girl walks home alone at night over there.
Girl walks home alone. Very progressive. Ripley is one of the best heroines ever. I think. We got
Sally. What's her face?
Sally Field.
Yeah, and the chick from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. What's her name?
Michelle Yao.
Yep, she's up there.
We don't have a Furiosa in here anywhere, do we?
Got
Rose McGowan up there for Planet Terror.
Plenty of Princess Leia.
Tons of Princess Leia because all the Star Wars
stuff.
We're overlooking Uma Thurman.
The centerpiece of the room is Uma Thurman. Yeah. And then do I have any Kill Bill stuff in here as well? Because I got a lot of Tarantino stuff. Yeah, definitely a lack of women. They are in here, though.
Yeah.
We love women.
We got a young Drew Barrymore talking to Steven Spielberg.
For E.T. Yeah, that's good stuff. And then
E.T. is brown.
Yeah. Titties.
E.T. is brown.
Who does
the most famous brown for all the 80s was E.T.
Save the Tatas, Chris.
Yeah.
Save them.
Yeah, save them.
Yes.
The running of the boobahs. That's going to be our next event.
Oh, good old Buckethead.
Good old Buckethead running of the boobahs. Oonga.
90s.
Yeah, that wasn't the button I was looking for, but it was good enough. You know, representation is important in media, and so I can understand. You know, Ron, you're not the first person to give me the idea. He's not the first person I heard of that said, I don't need to see these movies because I know all about them. SBK.
Mm-hmm.
He's not about seeing slave movies. And I'm like, why not, man? It's like, looks like a really good movie. It's, quote, an important movie, you know? And he's like, man, I know about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't need to wallow in it for 2 hours because I know this is for everyone else. And I was like, okay, I get it now. So, these movies have their place. Does it make you a bad black? No, not at all.
No,
just not.
Such a weird phrase. And do you have any other? I think that was the two questions, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, hit us up with that Love, Simon review, Ron.
Yeah, I was actually, when I was in Tampa, I was it was very refreshing to hear SBK on the radio down there.
Oh, yeah, on the bone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And every now and then he gets the host. When Drew's not there, he gets to sit in the host chair.
Yeah.
Those Tampa people better appreciate what they got, man.
Yeah.
They better appreciate
it.
We lost one of the best.
Yeah.
That show was the best. He was the best. And now he's over there and it's a bummer. He might as well be on Mars.
Yeah.
He's over in Tampa. He's so far away. And, I can tell you right now, they don't appreciate him as much over there because I see the tweets that he retweets. And oh boy. Boy. Racism. Drew, what else we got on the Vox Populi?
We got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got Death Wish and Gringo Review.
Oh, okay. Two movies we didn't see. Perfect.
Death Wish.
Death Wish.
in the 40 minutes of exposition before anything actually happens in this movie.
Oof.
We're told that Bruce Willis's character is some version of a civilized badass.
Hmm.
There's a bad parent soccer match scene that lasts way too long, trying to establish that Willis could kick this obnoxious guy's ass, but he chooses not to. Then after the game, over Chicago pizza, yuck, his brother, Vincent D'Onofrio, tells Willis's daughter, oh yeah, he used to scrap. So we're left believing that Willis is a simmering cauldron of rage and skills, but he keeps it in check. And then his family dies.
Oh.
Finally, let's do this. Unleash the beast. But no, we never see any of that fake backstory in his rampage. The dude is just a doctor who literally learns everything he needs to learn from YouTube. Need a gun? There's an ad video on YouTube. Need gun skills? He just fires endless rounds at a traffic sign until he finally hits the middle. Need to clean that gun? There's a video. Need to destroy a hard drive that has security cam footage? There's a video. We never even see him in a hand-to-hand fight. So where's the fucking scrap that his brother was talking about? And about D'Onofrio. His character serves no purpose whatsoever. He's set up as the down-on-his-luck brother borrowing money from Willis as if it's not the first time. Okay, this might lead to something. He pays back the money, got a union job where we're told, okay, there's some shitty potential there. Then later the cops show up and talk to the brother and a manager that distinctly seems as if he has had a prior criminal background. Yeah, this is definitely going somewhere. Nope, he's nothing. I honestly thought, nay, hoped that Vinny D would somehow be in charge of the home invasion crew that started all this. Nah, he's absolutely nothing. Eli Roth brings his typical gore factor to some of the kills, but who fucking cares? Sorry, that is so long. I just wanted y'all to fully understand how awful this movie is. I took the bullet so y'all wouldn't have to.
Wow, you really shed all over Death Wish.
Isn't that pretty much every Liam Neeson movie also? You know, minus the YouTube?
It kind of does. Yeah, he just has the skills and he goes around to shooting people. You hear about his background and then he kills a couple people.
He's got a specific set of skills.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but he actually uses those specific set of skills in the movie. And you see him use those skills. Yeah. Apparently,
you see it in Taken. And in the rest of the movies, he seems like the same character, but without the backstory.
Yeah,
he's like killing wolves.
He's retained those skills.
Yes,
But now he's got to kill a wolf. Now he's on a train.
First, I have to make spiky knuckles out of airplane bottles so I can fight the wolves.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, try to take out Darth Maul.
Attempt.
I got a mouthful of fadeaway. That was pre-Taken. So
yes. He didn't have those skills
yet.
Darth Maul would have been in half earlier.
Yeah. If he had them, then episodes 2 and 3 would have featured way more Liam Neeson. Yes. You know what? That's what those movies were missing.
Yeah.
More Liam Neesons.
You're right.
And less Hayden Christensen.
Oh yes. My gosh.
And we got a Gringo review.
Don't even get me started, Ed. Oh my god. And that was his Gringo review.
Gringo. This movie deserves more time than I'll give it.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of sad that this farcical dark comedy hasn't gotten its due because it's way better than I thought it would be. Edgerton is a really good douchebag. Charlize is an utterly delectable cunt.
Whoa.
Still my favorite swear word, only for those who deserve it, and she does.
Hmm.
And Oyelowo is fantastic as the straight man caught in their criminal shitstorm. I just love watching Oyelowo react to the madness that befell his sad sack character, especially when he was brought to cursing. It was hilarious. And then Charlton Copley showed up. So good. So many twists in the plot, and damn, what a body count. And all this over a fucking weed pill? 3 stars.
Charlton Copley showed up.
I guess so.
Man, I guess I'm going to see Gringo. Fan of Copley, I'm a fan of Oleo. Charlize Theron is great.
Oh, yes.
At playing, I mean, she's great in general. But she is great at playing, like, mean, hard-ass, like, I give no fucks, I am in charge here type of character, you know?
Yeah, after seeing her in Monster, that's when I was like, okay, she actually can act.
Oh, yeah, in Monster, it was like, that was like a tour de force style. Like, I am going to bring this character to life. I'm going to bring this person and, like, make it seem really real.
I knew somebody that was actually picked her up, the Eileen Warnos.
No way.
Like, didn't pick her up to, like...
So that's like a hitchhiker,
yeah.
Though?
But yeah, she actually runs... he was on one of the documentaries. But he runs a place called Mr. Dunderbox in Daytona Mall.
Yeah.
He was leaving, and she needed a ride somewhere, and he's just a super nice guy.
Yeah.
So he gave her a ride to the 7-Eleven up the road.
Oh, wow.
And just like, I guess a couple weeks later is when she started killing people.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's scary. That is scary. How did he... Man, I guess she must have been very memorable... for him to be like, oh, shit, that's the lady that I picked up that one time, you know, months and months ago.
Yeah, because I guess she asked him if he wanted to do something. He's just like, no, I'm just here to give you a ride. You know, I'm going home.
Oh, true. She was like probably looking for John's, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know,
it's a wild movie.
It's either she may have already killed her first victim, or
was getting ready to.
Yeah, or
maybe even looking for the first one.
Yeah.
Although the movie posits that the first one, I guess based on interviews with her, the first one was self-defense.
Yeah.
And then after that, she kind of got a taste for it. It's like, oh, I can kill these dudes, and no one will know.
Yeah, and I think had he, you know, I think it was he was so nice to her that was the only reason
that
he didn't get cut.
That she's like, oh, he's not one of the bad ones. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because she had such a poor upbringing anyway, poor experience with men. Man, that movie shot in the Orlando area, in Daytona, which was great. You know, that's what I like about movies set in Florida. They need to be shot in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah, it's wild when they're not.
Yeah. Oh, what was it? That stupid identity theft movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the
Winter Park, Florida. Yeah, Winter Park with an overpass in the middle of downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the establishing shot was a coastal beach line. Winter Park. Here's a beach.
Like,
fuck you people.
Fuck you people.
The person who wrote it is from Winter Park. The person who wrote the original screenplay. That's why those locations are in the script to begin with. But then once he sold it. And then the studio started making it. They kept all those details. Like, all right, we're shooting this thing in Georgia. Like, we don't care where it's at. Winter Park, I don't know what Winter Park is. We're just going to shoot it in Georgia. The entire South looks the same, doesn't it?
It's Florida. Put a coast on it.
Put a coast on it and we'll make our house pink.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Scott, thanks for taking the bullet on Death Wish and giving us a heads up on Gringo. That's very helpful. We appreciate that. Anything else for the Vox Populi?
Nope.
All right, that means then it's time to talk to our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, Billy D.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death at the Movies. Billy D's at the Movies. Billy D, you can find him all over the internet at I Love Blood. But Ed, don't take the name. He's a nice guy. He's a sweetheart.
I'm a metal guy myself.
You're a metal guy too? All right, yeah, so you love blood as well.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Blood.
Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Bill?
Sorry in advance, Drew.
Oh, it's a long one.
I was given an assignment this week by our fearless leader. I was to watch and review a micro to low budget thriller from Canada called Dark Forest.
Dark Forest. Okay, this is how this works. On Twitter, I was hit up through the Crespediso account by someone who made a movie called Dark Forest and said, hey, would you like to review our movie? Would you like to watch a movie and review it? We would like a review. Yeah, sure. Now it's a horror film. Drew and I not really into horror movies. That's not our thing. But we have Billy D. He's our horror film guy. He loves horror films. Watches,
he loves blood.
He loves blood. He watches all of them. So I'm like, if anyone on our show, affiliate with our show, is going to review this thing, he will be the best one to give it the fairest shake possible. So let's hear what Billy D has to say about the movie Dark Forest.
As many of you know, I love low-budget horror movies. I feel you can learn a lot from someone's failures, as much, if not more, from someone's successes.
That's an interesting sentence.
Maybe it's an identification thing. I identify with the challenges a low-budget filmmaker has before him, and can see how those challenges were overcome.
Oh, okay.
Or not, in some cases. The story is about this red-headed girl. I've forgotten a lot of the details, like names. And she likes flannel and bad boys. She has a boyfriend who is a controlling, jealous dick. He looks like a serial killer and is dirty all the time, like a mechanic or something. He even has this blaring red light that follows him around and backlights him everywhere he goes. She's going camping with her girlfriends, and he doesn't want her to go. He forbids her from going and gets drunk or something. She goes camping, and he gets jealous and goes on a murder rampage. He just kills anyone having fun, more fun than him, which is everyone. Dark Forest is a movie. It's not a particularly good movie.
It's a movie.
It has many shortcomings and not much works.
Aww.
But it is a movie. It's a glacially paced thriller with some glaring production and post-production problems.
Hmm.
First on my list of things about this is the editing. The pacing could have been quickened up by simply tightening the edit in the first 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. There isn't a single L or J cut in this movie, and characters tend to pause for a beat before answering a line dialogue every single cut. Mm-hmm. This becomes less of an issue after about 30 minutes because the editing gets better as the film progresses.
Maybe they
compliment.
Fired, maybe they fired a compliment. Maybe they fired an editor and got a new one.
Death by a thousand boring cuts. They added this color look and fake film grain to the look of the entire film to give it this 80s video feel. And I'm fine with this. Typically, see House of the Devil or We Are Still Here to see this effect done right. In fact, just go watch those movies. They're great. Back to the effect. Okay. They did this thing to make it look like an 80s movie shot on crappy video, except someone in the movie has a video camera, and when they switch to video camera, it pops into 1080 with crisp, beautiful focus. And then out to shitty video. Either commit to shitty video or don't. The camera in your movie should not be better than the camera you used to shoot your movie. There's also a dream sequence that is so insanely oversaturated it hurt my eyes. They blew up the sky and then replaced it with teal. Fucking hell. All the footage shot at night looks pretty nice though. Huh. Which, what the fuck? How is low light your strength?
Oh, shit.
All this aside, Dark Forest isn't plagued with any of the classic shitty movie mistakes. They kept the bottom out of the shots, if they had one. Huh. The performances weren't anything you couldn't cut around, and the story has the makings of something sorta interesting.
Huh.
But the story, it's way too long at the front. Mm-hmm. We need a taste, something to keep us watching. Mm. Instead, we just have a lot of different shots of the same house to make it look like different locations and so much talking. And something I want to draw attention to, since there is way too much talking in this movie, is the language used here to describe women. I love horror films and death metal, and even I was a little like, guys, calm down. They're going camping, no need to refer to every woman as bitch, slut, cunt, whore, and or tease in every sentence. Mm. This movie has created a reverse Bechdel test.
Bechdel
test. Mm-hmm. If two men are on screen at the same time, will they talk about a woman and call her a whore? The answer, shockingly, is if only one man is on screen, he will still talk to himself and find an excuse to call his girlfriend a whore. Dark Forest filled me with a kind of existential dread that I had somehow failed. I mean, this guy made a feature and got it on Amazon. What's my excuse?
Damn.
I also saw Annihilation this week, and it was great. Stay cool, Billy D.
There you go. He likes Annihilation and apparently doesn't like Dark Forest.
Apparently, Dark Forest was so bad that it inspired Bill to at least try to make a feature because if this guy can do it.
To at least admit, at least. Okay, that is so funny. Second reference to SBK now reminds me of something SBK would say all the time, actually, in reference to beer. But then we would also talk about in terms of movies. Whenever they would do Beer of the Week,
yes,
on a 10 point scale. Kevin would go, okay, it gets 1 point for the bottle and the packet because they put it in a bottle.
Yeah.
It gets a second point because it made it to market. It's actually, they made it, it's for sale. It's out there. They did it. They wanted to make a beer. They made it. It's there. So when he was like, it's a movie. That's what that reminds me of.
It's a movie.
It's a movie. So he definitely got the SBK level of approval on that one. The Dark Force people are probably going to hear this. Let this be a lesson out there to be careful what you ask for.
You wanted a review, you got it.
You wanted a review, you got a very, very honest one from our friend Billy D, who knows more about horror movies than most people know about anything else. So,
And he loves blood.
And he loves blood. He loves it. And he didn't really mention much blood in the review. So, where's the blood, guys? The misogyny is really funny. The Bechdel test, Drew, is, I think her name is Alison Bechdel, and it's like not, I mean, it's not standard, but it's a good way to look at a movie. It's an interesting way to look at a movie. Does a movie feature two female characters in a scene talking to each other, and is their conversation not about a man?
Okay.
Okay? So in a movie, do you have two female characters speaking about anything that's not a man in that movie? That is passing the Bechdel test. All right. Okay. So a majority of movies, you watch them.
When there's two ladies talking, they're talking about the dude.
Yeah, very rare to even have two ladies in a scene talking to each other. And when it does happen, it's usually them talking about man. The man. What are you going to do about the boyfriend and husband or this or that? So what he's saying, the reverse Bechdel test, the movie in which two dudes are talking and the woman about a woman, and she's referred to as a
whore.
A whore. Misogyny, it's fun.
Hooray!
All right, well, Billy D, thank you so much. We appreciate it, buddy. Dark Forest. On Amazon.
On Amazon. It's there. We can watch it.
They put that movie in a bottle. They slap the label on it. It's available by public. So,
yeah, if you want to see that.
If you want, you can.
You can. You can just go ahead and gouge your eyes out now.
Yeah. you can do that if you want. You can do that if you want.
Probably be less torture.
It might be. But hey, Bill's right. Good for these guys for making a movie and getting it out there. And it's available for people to watch. I mean, better than what I can say. I don't have a movie out there. I have a pilot for a TV show that never got picked up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A home improvement one.
I've been working on that.
Really?
Drew worked on it. That's right.
I worked on that.
Drew did some graphic design work.
I did the
Did you do any on-set work?
I did the cover for the DVD itself. Yeah. And then I did your guys' production company logos.
That's right. And did the Fun Dead Productions logo. Yeah. Yeah, it was over 10 years ago.
God damn. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Man. Try selling it now and see what happens.
We tried, Chris. Man. We tried.
Yeah, you know what? Nah.
We tried.
Not going to happen.
Chris, we tried.
We tried. It's not going to happen. I was a hired gun on that anyway. It's fine.
Oh.
All right, well. Thank you, Bill D. We appreciate it. Now let's get into some movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right. It is the most important podcasting segment in the history of everything. The Cinema Crespedisa Movie News segment. Movie news. We're going to talk about celebrity divorces. Those beach bods looking so toned and so tan. Sharon Stone seen with her younger boyfriend. How exciting. But first, Drew, we need a Justin Bieber update. Ed, what's up with the Biebs?
What's a Biebs?
What's a Biebs?
The Biebs.
Well, she's great. She has the Moneymakers. She has that great band. That's who we're talking about, right?
Justin Bieber?
Oh, no. I thought we were talking about Michelle.
You're talking about Michelle Biebs.
Yeah.
Michelle Biebs has Biebs in her Moneymakers, and she's out there kicking ass.
I love her.
There you go. That's your Justin Bieber update. Listen to Biebs and her Moneymakers.
Exactly.
Excellent. Very good. Yeah, I love Biebs. She's great.
She's awesome.
She's out in Melbourne or Bradenton? She's on the beach now, right?
I think so. I saw her at Local Grooves like the year we did it.
Oh, yeah?
Got to hang out with her for a couple minutes afterwards.
Yeah, she moved out to the coast a few years ago.
Yeah.
She was a fixture on SBK Live for a while. Great, great music, too.
Yes.
Fun music.
So much fun.
And she's got such a great voice, and it blows my mind when people are like, everyone's freaking out over Amy Winehouse and like how much they loved her and her voice, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, Michelle Biebs sounds exactly the same. She sounds just exactly the same, but her music is way more fun. People should be listening to that instead. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Amy Winehouse was the train wreck, so.
Yeah, it was more entertaining, I guess. She also had a great band. Amy Winehouse had a great band that produced great music.
Actually, you know,
what's wrong with Michelle Biebs, though?
Kind of interesting, being a metal guy. You know Metallica?
I do know Metallica. Yes, I've heard of them.
Moth Into the Flame? Moth Into the Flame, okay. The song on the new album.
Okay.
Was based on Hetfield watching the Amy Winehouse documentary.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah, so it talks about celebrities and how fame will kill you let it.
That's really funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The album that came out last year, was it?
Yeah, Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
Hardwired, which actually had a couple songs in it that I liked.
There's a lot on there that's really good. Yeah. Actually, I think that the Hardwired song itself should have actually just been the 2016 political season anthem.
Hardwired to Self-Destruct. Yeah, it was really bad. It was not good. But it was like, it had like their 80s sound to some of it, you know?
Yeah.
But then some of the songs also sounded like their post-Bob Rock, post-Black album, like the Load stuff and all that. It had a mixture of their sounds for over the years. And I mean, I don't like anything that's past 92.
I can find merit in all of it. Yeah,
in all of it?
I grew up on it, and there's some things that I do like, some that I don't. But
I mean, if I went back and listened to Load, there may be a few songs in it that I would still like now.
Between Load...
Reload, I didn't like at all. Even at the time, I didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, between Load and Reload, I can maybe put together half an album.
Just half an album?
I didn't like...
As long as you never acknowledge St. Anger's existence.
I was going to say, so that's the one with the...
St. Anger?
That's the one where they lost his...
The tin drums.
Yeah, they lost his drum kit, so they gave him a bunch of empty kegs.
Yep. Yeah, like, pretty much.
Here's the keg, here's a pony keg, and here's some cymbals. Have this fun. Thing.
Yeah. And there's
very distracting.
The lyrics on that album are really good and emotionally grit, and could make up some great songs. Yeah. They just...
The production of it was bad.
They redid the production and had solos.
It's a weirdly poorly produced album. Yeah. Considering it's Metallica and how much money they put into their albums, it's weirdly poorly produced. The choices they made it was bad.
For 8-minute songs without guitar solos and any flair to the guitars
at all.
Which
is insane. It's like, this is what we come to you for. If we want the long songs, we also want the 2-minute Kirk Hammett solo.
We want the thrash metal.
We want the thrash. We're here for it. Judas Priest put out a new album, and they sound... I don't want to say exactly the same.
No, but they still sound good.
Because they sound more metal than ever. Like, they got more metal and more modern sounding, but without, trying to become more accessible. Yeah. They're just going further and further into what they're doing, and it sounds great. They're putting out, some of the best music of their careers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, other bands, Metallica should have been... Although, I mean, who are we to say what their direction? They wanted to go in a different direction. They wanted to... Newsted wanted to do some slap bass. Hetfield wanted to write some slow songs. Hammett wanted to cut out the solos. They're artists. They can do whatever they want. Doesn't mean I'm just going to accept it, though. I would rather listen to Master of Puppets.
And another example, since we're now on music podcasts.
Yeah, why not?
Megadeth. Dave Mustaine, having Metallica roots, he wrote some of the best thrash metal albums, went through some of the same kind of sound changes. Just won a Grammy for his for the first time on his newest album.
Did he really? I didn't even know he had an album.
Yeah, the newest one that was out, and it's actually really damn good.
And does it sound like 80s Megadeth?
There's some 80s style in there. There's some that's not.
Only thing I don't like about Dave Mustaine, he's a right-wing weirdo. He has said some outlandish shit.
Yeah, I've met him a couple times. He's really nice in person.
I'm sure. That happens often.
There was something he said... after the Dark Knight movie theater shooting, that I was just kind of like, "All right, dude,
I'm gonna take a little bit of space. I don't have to follow your career.
I'm Megadeth for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. I need to peel back a bit. Maybe find some other stuff out there. There's plenty of artists out there that we don't have to put up with. We have to separate the art from the artist. Well, actually, there's other art. We can just ignore the bad artist. And anyway, it's a crazy world we're living in.
I can like your music. I just don't have to like you.
Right. That's possible too. I mean, Richard Wagner made some great music. Flight of the Valkyries. Kill the Jews. Wagner, whoa. I thought we were just listening to some cool music, man. He's like, I also believe in eugenics. You're a monster.
I have to add these lyrics that everyone else took out. Kill the Jews.
What if we find Wagner's lyric book and it's all the most anti-Semitic lyrics ever?
Is. Great, now I can't watch that scene in
Watchmen?
Yeah.
Oh, you can watch it. No, it's perfect. Comedian right there. As he's burning the Vietnamese people.
Just imagine they're all Jews.
It's actually the perfect song to play while he's burning up brown people. The Richard Wagner's Flight of the Valkyries. I'm pretty sure Zack Snyder knew what he was doing in that moment. Sometimes I question Snyder. I think in that moment he knew exactly what he was doing.
I'm happy he's no longer on DC movies.
Oh, man, me too. Me too. Because
Everybody wanted going back to Justice League, wanted this Zack Snyder cut. And I'm sitting here hearing that it was completely unwatchable. I'm like... Give me a full Joss Whedon cut.
I think it's fun watching
the Joss Whedon parts.
That's the thing. I think it's give us one or the other.
You can't do both.
Yeah, it's give us a Whedon Justice League.
I think that's why I didn't like it so much.
It was a house divided. Yeah, a house divided cannot make a movie upon itself. So it was like it's dour. It's low key. Those are the Snyder scenes. And then all of a sudden, Aquaman and Batman are quipping. Now we got jokes. Yeah. And then the best scene in the movie is probably a Whedon scene, which is Cyborg and Flash digging up the grave. And then they're having their conversation. And it's like, it's a funny conversation, but it has a little bit of pathos because they're talking about, hey, we're both mistakes, And they're kind of grappling with who they are. I was like, this is a good scene. This is a good scene in the middle of this movie.
Yeah. Well,
if they could have expanded on this feeling, and I'm almost positive that that's a Whedon scene because it feels like something out of a Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I felt like it. And then the end fighting, at the end where, spoil everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when but they, at this point, it's on DVD, it's fine.
When they break the mother boxes apart, yeah. And Superman's like, yeah, I wish I was dead.
Well, yeah, that's
and
a Whedon.
Just coming, yeah, that was perfect.
That's a Whedon line.
And then Cyborg, my toes hurt.
Yeah, that's Batman, right? Yeah.
No, Cyborg, he doesn't even have...
He has a toaster line. Batman has a line, too, when he gets thrown to the ground. He's like, oh, and then he has
Something's definitely bleeding.
Yes. All Whedon jokes for sure. Those are all because Zack Snyder movies don't have quips like that.
No, and he's not a funny guy.
Yeah, his quippiest movie is Dawn of the Dead, and that's because that was written by James Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, all Zack Snyder did was he directed that thing. So, I feel like give us one or the other, and it would have been an improvement. You can definitely feel the stitches on that Frankenstein movie, which is then why people were like, give me the Zack Snyder cut. Because they want to see.
Whedon cut.
I would rather get the Whedon cut, but. The one that would, quote, exist would be the Zack Snyder one. Also, no one else has noticed this. I'm almost positive that this happened, and no one has done this. In the first Man of Steel movie, when he's trying to stop that thing that's like destroying everything, he's trying to stop the one in the Indian Ocean.
Yep.
And he's under the white beam, and he's like trying to like push up against it. His face, for a second, CG morphs into Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, there was a big thing about that.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it happened again when they were separating the mother boxes, because I was looking at his face. I was like, I bet you he'd do it again, because it was like getting really intense. For a second, I saw Christopher Reeve's face in there. Yeah. I'm like, I bet you they did it again, and no one bothered to like check this time, because no one cares anymore.
And, the other cool thing was that they kind of put elements of the original soundtracks, like the original Superman soundtrack.
The original John Williams, as well as the Danny Elfman Batman.
Yes.
Which was like, when they broke out the bum, 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 I was like, holy shit.
I'm like
that still works. That's great.
Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, the soundtrack with Man of Steel, that...
The Hans Zimmer one, yeah, very bombastic. Like, very grandiose.
The first flight scene and everything. That was great.
Beautiful music.
But just reimagine that with the John Williams.
I mean, John Williams is John Williams for a reason, right? He crafts memorable themes almost in his sleep, it seems like.
Yeah.
And, so them incorporating older Batman themes and older Superman themes was pretty smart.
I mean, when I first heard, that was the problem. Superman Returns wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great.
It was too much of an homage. Too long, and it wasn't its own movie. Yeah, Bryan Singer tried too much to make a Richard Donner Superman when he should have just been making the Bryan Singer Superman.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he could have had some influences with that. I just feel like I'm just copying what they did before.
But
there's a
having
fine
that
line.
Soundtrack, though. Having the John, like, when he's... That's what saving
made,
that plane.
That's what made the marketing great. Because the marketing used like Marlon Brando's speeches and John Williams is like the Kryptonian theme song. I was like, this is like, I'm getting the feels from the marketing.
Getting it back.
Yeah. And then you see the movie, it's like,
It's like, all right, he fought a rock.
And you're also like, why is Superman in Melbourne, Australia? This is weird.
Yeah.
The whole movie. I know it's supposed to be Metropolis, but I'm pretty sure I saw a dingo in the background in one scene.
Did the dingo eat your baby?
Did the dingo eat your super baby? Oh, is that a cue for Australian Santa to show up?
Maybe.
Nah, he's not busy. I only have one movie news story. I'm just killing time here because I only have one movie news story. So we're going to do this story real quick. We teased in the first half and then we're going to end the show. Avengers Infinity War set a record for superhero movies. Mm-hmm. Tickets sold... In the first 24 hours, it broke the 24-hour record in 6 hours.
Jeez, damn.
Yeah. Previous Fandango record holder for fastest tickets sold first 24 hours, Black Panther. The one before that was Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Mm-hmm. So the last three movies to set this record, Batman vs. Superman, and then Black Panther, and now Avengers Infinity War. Ed, we bought our tickets on Thursday for a movie that comes out in 5 fucking weeks.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just going to do what I normally do and show up.
Here's the thing, though. It's a type of movie where you're going to go to the theater and you'll look at the show times. Like, okay, well, there's a 9. There's a 9:15. There's a 9:30. There's a 9:45. There's a 10. Like, there's going to be, throughout the day, multiple show times. And you're like, oh, that one's sold out. I'll just... take the one that's in 15 minutes or the one that's in half an hour. Like, there will be enough screens to accommodate all the people that want to see the movie opening weekend. That's how you get these gigantic opening weekend numbers.
Yeah. I will say, sometimes the midnight releases are fun. Like, the first Avengers movie,
mm-hmm.
when that came out, I lived near a theater in Deltona, the new one that opened up there.
So it's easy to go through the midnight screen? Especially now, too, if a theater has a reserved seating, then you don't have to go wait in line for 2-3 hours.
That was great. Yeah. You know, when Star Wars opened, I didn't go to the midnight release on that, but I went opening night.
Yeah.
And I just happened to find, down Point Orlando, they had reserved seating, and there was one spot up in the top row.
Nice. And it's like, hey, I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, it's just me.
That's perfect.
Right, boom.
That's perfect. When Star Wars The Force Awakens came out, Drew and I, we got tickets at the downtown theater, reserved seats, and then opening night, Friday night, Drew, for some reason, couldn't make it. I can't remember why.
I had to do something.
He had to do something. Maybe he had to go to Sarasota or something like that.
Oh, I think I did have to go to
Sarasota. I think he had a family thing, maybe. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to just move it by myself. But since it's reserved seats, I already bought the seat. I'm in a packed theater. It's full. I got a seat open next to me. I'm leaning on it. I'm like, I got so much room. I'm like, this is fantastic.
You sit in that seat and then put your feet in the other
one. Yeah, people were probably like, this guy bought himself two seats. What, do you think he's on an airplane? What's going on over here?
I was just about to make that.
Yeah. Who do you think is? A fat Kevin Smith trying to get two seats? And then he gets kicked off the plane anyway? That was ridiculous when they kicked him off the plane.
Speaking of him, I mean, did you see his heart attack story recently?
I mean, I know he had that massive heart attack. He almost died. Like, yeah. They were breaking out the morphine on him, and that's when he thought he was doomed.
Yeah.
When he heard him saying, we need morphine. And he's like, oh shit, I'm dead.
Yeah, that scared the hell out of me, because I had, being on the road with the beer industry, this past weekend was, or not this one, but two weekends ago. Just a lot of hanging out with in the industry, a lot of friends.
Yeah.
It's kind of a family reunion for this big Cigar City event.
Right.
So, you know, not a lot of sleep going on, not a lot of eating, you know.
Not really taking care of yourself like you should be, right?
Yeah.
And then drinking the alcohols, sure.
Next day, my heart rate goes up to like 170 just standing there.
Oh, that's not good.
No. I'm having this moment, and I'm like, the only thing I can think of is, I just saw Kevin Smith, who's not that much older than me, announced that he had a heart attack and damn near died.
Yeah.
And I'm here like...
And your heart's not feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely anxiety and, and...
A panic attack, which...
Yeah, panic attack, which happened.
And
lack of food and sleep really kind of...
That can trigger it, and a panic attack feels like a heart attack for many people in many instances, yeah.
So the worst thing is, having my phone have the heart rate monitor on it.
So it's letting you know.
I'm just sitting here going... I'm sitting here like...
This thing's way too high.
I'm gonna die.
I'm not supposed to see this number.
Yeah, it keeps jumping up, and I'm like, if I keep looking at it, maybe it's gonna keep jumping. And then
that's the thing, and then it becomes a feedback loop. Then you're stressing yourself out because your heart rate's so high, and then you're supposed to be relaxing instead. You're freaking out. Yeah, sure. Gotta take care of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
We need you. Now you're part
drink
of
drink responsibility.
Drink responsibly. You're now part of the PFT family. We need you to stick around, buddy.
Exactly.
You're family now, dude. We need you to do your thing.
But yeah, that's, going back to the Kevin Smith thing.
Yeah, that's scary, a
personal moment for me there.
Yeah, Kevin Smith. That is wild.
You face your mortality for the first time.
I have a history of heart disease in my family. Mm-hmm. I have an uncle who had a quadruple bypass. His brother, my dad, had a triple bypass a couple years ago. Their father died of a heart attack at the age of 52, before I was even born. So definite history of bad hearts in my family, which is why in the last year or so, I've taken up running and exercising. I'm trying to lose weight and just be healthier, because it's coming for me. It's coming for me like the giant doo-doo cloud in Green Lantern.
I looked at a picture of myself from like the 15th, which is my brother's birthday. Happy birthday, Michael.
Birthday Chan-Chan. That's what that is.
But I looked at a picture of myself from last year when I met the founder for Dogfish Head.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the picture now and I'm like, holy shit, that 80 pounds really does look like it's gone.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, I dropped
80 already?
Yeah.
Good.
And just over a year. So
excellent. Nice. That's a lot. 80 pounds is a lot, man.
Yeah.
I dropped like 30 or 35, and then I put like 5 to 10 back on as I plateaued out a little bit. So damn, 80 is a lot, dude. Good for you.
I'm still trying. I mean, this past week has been bad on food.
That's the thing. If you're working in the beer industry, oh boy. Not only are the beers high cal, but then what's typical beer food? I mean, come on. I want some wings. I mean, a burger or some hot dog.
I want fat.
Yeah.
And salt.
Fat and salt to go with this delicious alcohol.
And in my job, I end up going, from bar to bar, like trying to, like, let's say I'll visit, Jeremy and Tracy over at Rogue Pub for a minute. And then I got to drive to Johnny's other side.
Sure.
Or, something like that.
Yeah.
So if I'm not eating at Johnny's or Rogue or something like that, I'm looking at a fast food place. I'm just like, there's not a lot of options.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100% because when I'm doing, I'm on the road now for trivia kind of often. And like I already have a full day and then I got to do trivia at night. And then it's like 9:30 at night. I got to figure out my dinner. It's just too easy to pull into a Wendy's and get like a couple of burgers and some nuggets and take that home, you know? And it's bad for you.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
bad.
God, it tastes so good. Yeah, it does.
It tastes so good. God, those Wendy's.
Gonna have some tacos after this.
Man, those Wendy's double stacks. Oh, some tacos. Tacos sound good. Okay, let's wrap this show up, Ed, with the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Man, I've been drinking on this beer the whole second episode.
Drink it up, Chris.
I'm on my second one. I brought four, so I drank two.
It almost has almost like a peanut buttery smell. I'm getting sort of. I guess it's just nutty. Kind of nutty.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just thinking peanut butter because I love peanut butter.
Well, you just love nuts in your mouth.
I love nuts in my mouth. We've established the love of nuts, Drew. But please shave them assholes, Ramy. That's Ron's thing, not mine. Ed, lightning round time. I have 10 questions.
All right.
And I need 10 answers, and we're going to learn a little bit about you. You ready?
Sounds good.
Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, do you like coconut water?
I've only had it like once. It's okay.
Okay, number two, do you believe in Godwin's law?
Yeah.
Number three, what do we do with automation?
Automate things.
Number four, why do batteries die?
Because God hates us. I don't know.
Okay, number five. Why can't we recharge dead humans?
Again, see last answer.
All right, number six. Favorite three types of donuts, go.
Glazed, banana cream, whatever, I don't know, and another donut. And blueberry cake.
And another donut. Number seven. Should we fear death or learn to love it?
It's going to happen no matter what, so don't be afraid, but actually, you know, just kind of, you know, live your life good stuff.
Okay, a third option. I like that. Number eight, vodka, rum, tequila, rank them.
Tequila tastes better, vodka, and then I actually really like rum. So rum would be the top, vodka third. So
you would go rum, tequila, vodka.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, very cool. Number nine, think in your brain. Think of a number between 1 and 3. You got it?
Yeah.
Is it 2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Number 10. Why? For the love of God, why?
Because beer.
Because beer. That's a great answer. Cheers. Cheers to that, sir. All right. We have two bags here. We got the green bag. We got the polka dot bag. Ed, which one of these bags do you maybe want to go home with today for swag?
Let's go green bag.
All right, green bag. Drew, break out the green bag. Let's see what Ed may get to go home with.
Sir, you may get to go home with a Nickelodeon's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Play Pack Grab and Go. It's got 4 crayons, 25 stickers, and a 24-page fun-size coloring book.
Nice.
You've got a Street Fighter Nano Metal Fig. It's Ryu.
It's Ryu! Ooh. Metal Ryu!
We've got a 100-piece puzzle of a dude on a horse.
Dude on a horse! Hadouken! Oh. Nope. Damn it. There we go.
We've got a Princess Bride magnet. Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Classic. We've got Cinema Chris produced a bootleg edition of Behind Enemy Lines. And a
CD.
A CD. Stuck with Green, Dull Unconscious Man.
There you go. Local artist Stuck with Green. And there's a bunch of stickers in there as well. Now, Ed, this can be yours. You can take it home, or we put the bag away, you never see it again, and instead you take what's in the box that Drew has over here?
I was going to say, what's in the box?
That's exactly the question, Ed. You can take, you know what's in the bag, you can take this, or we put this away, and instead you take whatever is in the box.
I've got to go with what's in the box.
We're going what's in the box, okay, pop that top, reach in there, and let everyone know what's inside.
Oh, sweet. I've got a James Bond Funko Pop.
Hey, nice. The James Bond Funko Pop. Look at that. And it's specifically from Goldfinger.
That's
the Sean Connery James Bond.
So the one who just randomly slaps women?
The one who randomly slaps a woman. Look, this woman needs to be slapped. She has information. I'm going to slap her. Because I'm James Bond. Yeah. There you go. Excellent. Excellent job, Ed, choosing the box. Well done, sir. And thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It was a lot of fun. We'll definitely do it again in the future.
Absolutely. We need to get both myself and Leslie in here and, well, maybe Steve.
Steve's been here plenty of times.
We don't need any more Steve.
Steve is our automatic third mic man. If we don't have a guest, we call in Steve and he takes that seat.
He's the third wheel.
He is the third wheel.
He's good at that.
He's great at it. He's fantastic at it. That's why we keep having him back. Drew, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Remember to break up the big banks, be excellent to each other, read more books, and free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We'll be back next weekend. Bye-bye.
A PFT Media production.